like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Before we start,
yes,
Lindsay Lohan, we mentioned yesterday, was voted the sexiest woman by Maxim magazine.
Right. Hot as movie balls.
Listen to this tape and tell me if she just does not sound like vomit.
All right.
And also, congratulations, you were voted number one in Maxim 100 Hottest Babes.
Thank you.
Did you know this?
No.
Accolades.
That's a lot to live up to, isn't it? Jeez.
You're going to take you
working out more?
Wow.
She has undersized testes.
Another late night for Lindsay.
Hi.
What about the vagina?
Sounds like heaven.
I'm going to stop.
Yes.
Comment?
No.
And also, congratulations, you were voted number one in Maxim 100 Hottest Babes.
Thank you.
Did you know this?
No.
Accolades.
That's a lot to live up to, isn't it? Jeez.
You're going to be patient.
Working out more?
God.
Working out more.
Just gross.
Chocolate cake.
So gross.
Good.
Oh, no, hold on. Let's hear something new from the Belcher guy.
Wonderful.
Hello, it's not queued up.
Come on. Give me one 1,000. 2,000. 3,000.
From Annapolis, Maryland. Rob, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hold on. This is a bad MP3. Is he calling Liddy?
It sounds like it.
Wow. Is he calling the G. Gordon Liddy
what's,
show?
It's that Darth Vader sound again.
In the future.
Okay, yeah. Well, let's listen to it. It's new, right? Yeah. Brand new, kids.
New, right?
From Annapolis, Maryland. Rob, you're on the air.
Hello.
You're on the air, Rob.
Oh, that's me.
Yeah, that's you.
Oh, great. So, Gordon, I've been listening to you for so long that this is the first time I've ever actually picked up the phone to give you a call.
Okay, well, let it not be the last time.
Yeah, I hear that sound-deadening thing you're talking about. There's an echo of some kind there.
There
so maybe
sure
the back
is.
Rug on the tabletop might not be a terrible idea.
It's an excellent idea because I think you should have, before they put all these cardboard boxes in here to absorb sound, it was, hello.
Yeah, well, I've been listening since, like, way back when, since when you were on Before the Don and Mike Show, and I think, what are we talking, 10 years here, maybe?
Oh, at least. I think that was when I was, I followed Jack Benny.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you're pulling my left one now. Don't kid with me like that. I'm very fragile today.
All right.
Anyway, I just wanted to know if when you fought, did they get caught in your mustache?
Oh. I think Rob was probably let out of the institution a day or two early. Okay.
Wow. Oh, dear.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Oh,
uh-oh, Dongo!
Boy, that old clock on the wall sure moves fast, doesn't it?
Yeah, that when some people are
jeez.
On.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Just grab one other one.
Let's go.
Hanging in
sure
there.
We've heard
cardboard boxes.
He doesn't need that kind of abuse.
Hello.
Gordon, try to do the Jack Benny joke today.
Breathe, Gordon.
And obviously he said something that was deleted out.
Yes, something about balls.
Anyway, here's something else from the Belcher.
When we return, open phones for the remainder of the program.
Open phones.
Yeah. So, if you'd like to follow up on this or any other segment that we have presented this afternoon, or for that matter, if you'd like to introduce into discussion some other ideas that you would like us to explore, by all means, please do so. Good afternoon. You are on the air. Hello.
Good afternoon, gentle person Hamilton. I have to welcome you back. I had to tune away during that month when the shows were different.
Okay.
And I just have to say that your show today was outstanding, as usual. And I was wondering, could you tell me what time it is?
Why?
Because I love it when you say it's 42 minutes pesky
hour. That's funny. That's funny.
But I do have a real question.
Yes.
If you could just tell me what time it is.
Yes, it is 35 minutes after the hour.
Yeah. And have you been to the Don and Mike website and pulled your pants?
No, I have not been to the Don and Mike website, and I have not I have not disrobed in any way, shape, or form. But thank you very much for listening, and thanks for the call. Good afternoon, talk back.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Lady, I don't give a diddly shit what they call me.
You know. If it's human waste, save some for me.
I webbed you. That means you got the apartment.
I love that one.
Whoa, yes it is.
What not?
Starfly! Starfly! Starfly!
You know what we're not doing today on the show?
What's that?
No. No matter how hard you beg.
And please.
The feedback was so wonderful. Yeah. I just love it.
Uh-oh, Songo!
Uh-oh, that's so gay.
Oh, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
Where's the goo?
What glorious goo?
Yes.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
And also, congratulations, you were voted number one in Maxim's 100 Hottest Babes.
Thank you.
Did you know this?
No.
Accolades.
It's a lot to live up to, isn't it? Jeez.
You're gonna be patient.
Working out more.
If it's human waste, save some for me.
Right, Lindsay.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back.
Welcome.
Hi, little brains. Your little brains just like you. This is the Don and Mike show.
Good looking Wednesday, everybody.
Hello.
Maybe you just heard the phone number a moment ago. Here it is again. 877-365-3636.
I just webbed you.
I webbed you. That means you got the apartment.
Homo.
Oh, my God, I love that one.
Let's start with some real breaking news, at least for me.
Really?
Breaking news. Received an email from Dave Everson, a regional vice president at the Coca-Cola Bottling Company in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, this is a power player.
Dave. Yeah, that's right. Got the email from Dave.
This is real good stuff.
Don't worry.
Or is it disappointing news?
Don't worry, says Dave.
Yes?
Sure, they're taking black cherry vanilla Diet Coke off the market.
Uh-huh.
Killing it. To be replaced by the return of Vanilla Coke and Vanilla Zero.
Diet 2?
Yes, that the Zero.
Diet Vanilla Coke and Diet Vanilla Zero.
Diet Vanilla is Zero. They're going to have
what is
regular
the difference between Diet Vanilla Coke?
To the younger folks, because they don't want to be associated with Dad's Diet Coke. It skews younger to people like Mike O'Mara.
Well, Mike, wait, because you were drinking Sprite Zero?
Yeah. Zero product.
I see that.
Oh, I'm very excited.
Well, congratulations. Yeah, you must feel thrilled to get an executive to call you or to email you.
It was an email, and he said, as a matter of fact, that it's in grocery stores now throughout America. It just hasn't worked its way to the Mid-Atlantic region yet. And
well, that deserves a hearty round of applause.
And the people at Coca-Cola listen to the show. A lot of them listen on the Internet down in Atlanta. So,
in a way, it was the vice president emailing you and saying, thank you for drinking.
So, howdy. And you always misunderstand that ad on American Idol.
And I intend to continue to misunderstand it. I'm interpreting it. Look, all I see on the television screen, because I flip right through on my TiVo after I see it, my TiVo, I sounded like Hugh Hamilton.
TiVo.
Thank you for drinking, and I obey.
Hello there. Don and Mike show. Yeah. First call of a brand new day.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to let you guys know if you have seen the commercials for the 400th episode for The Simpsons.
I have not.
I have not either.
I saw it go.
They're going to have the character of Jack Bauer. They're going to do like a 24 skit on the Simpsons, and they have Kiefer Sutherland do the voice. And they show him like shooting in every direction, just shooting, talking to Bart. Like, there's no more time.
Would there be a chance I could ask you where you're from?
Sacramento.
That sounds funny. What else happens?
Well, I mean, they're just going to have their 400th episode, 4,000th episode, something like that.
400, yeah.
My mom's from El Cabo, whore, so peace out.
All right, thanks.
Peace out. Go King. Go Las Vegas King.
Thank you for the obvious.
There we go.
Okay, well, we'll dive back into those calls in a moment.
Okay. Because we're gluttons for punishment.
Guys, I don't know what you guys think about Idol last night.
Jungle!
Wrong one.
Shut up.
Thank you. Here are your bottom two. Tonight.
Your
bottom two are Jordan Sparks and the Beatbox Boy, and Jordan Sparks is out. Take your baby's money, go to Las Vegas, always bet on black, market. I'm never wrong. I'm like Wesley Snipes, always bet on black.
That's your stone cold winner?
And it has nothing to do with a race. It's simply a saying. Melinda Doolittle is the stone cold winner.
Yeah.
Blake will make
I agree it. That Jordan's going to be out tonight.
Blake will make it tonight.
Even though I thought Jordan's old-fashioned song that Simon didn't like was her best performance of the season. I thought that was the best song that I've ever seen. Wouldn't you agree, Buzz?
I would.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch it, Buzz?
No, I missed it. I really
How could you miss it, Buzz?
I don't know. What time was it on?
8 p.m.
8 p.m.? No, I missed it.
With Tybo, though, with Tybo, it can be on whenever you want
whenever
it.
Whenever you want it.
That's
it.
True.
But sometimes your best friend and, your business partner, the man you've worked with for 20 years, calls you, and you feel like you've disappointed him because he's watching it live and you're watching it, Tebow. And
I didn't disappoint me in any way.
I felt pangs of remorse when you called because I wasn't watching it at that moment.
Not up to date.
You like to watch it with the commercials.
I like to watch it. It's a live. It's a live show.
Live.
To me, it's like
live.
It's like watching a football.
Sporting
event. Yeah.
Right.
Why would I TiVo a game unless it, you know, something really important.
That's a good point. I mean, I don't look at it as a live television show. I look at it as a television show. I don't look at it as a sporting event. So that's why I leisurely enjoy my supper.
Good. Your sup.
And
your sup.
My sup. And I was enjoying my
what's up?
My chicken and rice.
Hey, what's up?
And just moved on to watch the Tybo after looking at my beloved Boston Red Sox.
And the call was a throwaway. It was,
yes, I know.
It was just a throwaway. It was certainly nothing.
But I think that you're absolutely right about Jordan being the last one. Because I think Simon's got more power than people give him credit for. Mm-hmm. People like him because he says nasty things. But I think he can set up somebody to take a fall. And he definitely set up Jordan to do that when he dissed her great performance.
Well, and they're gonna split it up now because there's Melinda Doolittle, who is obviously an adult, and now you've got these other two that are both, you know, teenage heartthrobs, even though as far as I know that beatbox boy might be 30 years old for all I know. I don't know.
You know,
how
the
old
beatbox boy, and I think
hey,
I think is a guy's our age.
Sure, boy.
Is a guy's really from like 25 to 55 that really just don't like him. You know, and the teenage girls love him because Carla adores the
That's
kid.
What I was theorizing last night is that it's the teen vote that's going to break up those two, Jordan Sparks and the Beatbox Boy. Hey there, boy!
We had a major argument about Idol last night, and I took the telephone and I started...
Slammed it over her head.
I started redialing. You were there. I started redialing for Melinda again and again, and Carla picked up her cell phone and started calling for Blake. And then I snatched her cell phone out of her hands and put it between two pillows. And she wouldn't come and get it.
Your underpants were in between, though, right?
Yes, yes. I put it between my regular pants and my underpants.
Why, they have insurance.
It was. She didn't get as many votes to Blake.
Now she's got the chocolate phone. Yeah, that special one.
That special one that you see in the magazine.
It's a good thing that she didn't get the cherry red one.
Yeah. If that had been the case, I'd be like that kid on House.
That kid on House. You want a urine sample?
Oh, that's
there you
nasty.
Go.
That's it. That, you know, isn't it amazing when we see people getting suspended on the radio and you turn on your magic box and the things you can see on television?
Yeah. I said to Jan last night, we were watching that kid on House, and he said, you know, that's like me every time I go to the kidney doctor. Mm-hmm. That's exactly how I get
on the doctor's floor.
Oh, I made Mike spit his water up.
He did.
Sorry, my lady. My lord.
You've seen that. How accurate was it when they showed that?
Very, Mike.
Wow.
Very. There was the right amount of splatter. the right amount of spray.
That was one seriously creepy kid. Yeah. I'd like to see more of that kid. He was that creepy.
And they made him nice and jaundicey. At one point, he was so jaundicey, I almost thought I was looking at surf.
Drop it. You're trying to drown Mike O'Mara.
I'm trying to get a little sippy sip here, you know?
Trying to enjoy my vodka tonic. And oh, my God.
He was yellow.
Surf did the same thing the boy did, too, later in the show.
You know?
Surf would always do that when he'd try to be making a point. Look
time.
Under here.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hello, guys. How are you today?
Hey, what's up?
I'm wondering if any of you caught when Blake was doing his song. The first line in his song was, "I was so high I didn't recognize." And then at the very end of that sentence, he put his hand up to his mouth like he was smoking a joint.
What do you do with an elderly woman?
I don't think she's elderly.
We're getting some TV interference. Did anybody notice?
He was feigning. He was feigning smoking a doobie,
having a weed.
Ma'am,
lady.
Yes.
What happened? Did you just have a cranial cramp there?
Oh, I've dropped out of the life so much. I just said, was he having a weed?
Having a weed.
Are you having a weed?
Was he enjoying a marijuana cigarette? What?
I thought with everything being so politically correct that they might have kicked him off the show for something that little.
No, that's just radio.
But he clearly did it. It was crazy. I couldn't believe he would do something so crazy.
That's why there's all that outrage today.
There's something about your voice. Are you wearing a sports bra right now?
You know what? Yes, I am.
Hey, you called how old are you?
I'm 23.
Oh, you're a youngster.
She just has that very get-it-done sound to her voice, like she might even have those little girl weights in her car while she's driving, doing her arms going up and down with her sports bra, her tight sports bra.
Are you a big-boned gal?
No, actually, I'm very small.
And big-boned, I mean, you know, anybody ever seen a fat skeleton?
Hey.
You know, seriously, that hurts that Jordan Sparks girl last night.
She has lost weight, though, a little bit.
Not as much as Melinda.
At one point, when they had a shot of the Jordan Sparks, she was singing whatever the Whitney Houston song was, right. Where there's it's just the orchestra, musical accompaniment, and they're shooting her from behind, and hey, who doesn't want to shoot her from behind?
Hey.
And all I could focus on were those arms.
Yeah, she's got some big arms. She was a full-figured model.
Yeah.
She's been like a stage kid since she was real little.
Did you see when Blake did the retard move with the microphone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved that because he's such a tard.
I can't stand him.
No contestant seems so stupid as him. Or is it me?
He's so safe, though. And the thing is, like on that Dumb Maroon 5 song, he did a good job on that.
He did a great job because it's right in his wheelhouse.
He actually does kind of sound like Sting.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And that other one, that ba-da-da-da, you know, that wasn't awful.
He'll get voted off tonight because he feigned smoking dope.
Yeah, we're gonna vote him off.
Smoke the weed.
Blake and his bad nose.
If you spark up a butt on television, you are gone.
Rob.
I like it when Rob talks about grass.
Rob seriously wouldn't know weed if Ricky Williams walked in there. It's a big NFL-sized joint right now.
Rob, I've never asked you the President Clinton question.
What's that?
Have you ever inhaled?
One.
Only one time? I would like to be around for that.
Hey, you know something? No, what? I had a dream last night.
That's what happened after that.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Bud.
Don and Mike, what's up?
Hi there.
And there was blood.
Hey, really quick, did you guys hear about the two humpback whales that are in the Sacramento River right now? They went from the San Francisco Bay to the Sacramento River.
That was stupid of them.
Are they a couple of morning DJs doing a stunt?
I don't know. I thought you guys would get a kick out of that, but I'm going to go before I make a fool out of myself.
Too late.
Bye.
Too late.
Bye!
They'll get somebody from the Natural Resources Department to check it out, and it'll be just two of Sacramento's local women taking a little swim.
What a great thrill I had today. You gotta embrace the small things in life.
That's right.
About a week ago, one of those goddamn trucks on the road that spews out rocks and gravel and stuff, had one of those little rocks that just came and bing, like a perfect star.
Ow.
Right in the corner of my windshield.
That's dangerous, potentially dangerous.
And one day last week when it was you know, it's, the weather is like a woman's mood right now. It's either it's either incredibly hot or it's incredibly cold.
We're having a very menstrual May.
And it was one day last week when was a hot flash, and it was about 95 degrees in the parking lot.
Right.
Black car, black interior, very hot, and the heat expanded this thing, and the crack was, well, frankly, it was the biggest crack I've seen since I saw myself naked in the mirror.
It actually spread. It seamed up the window.
Yeah. So today was the day that the guy comes out to the house. I always like watching this when this is done.
Love this.
When the guy comes out with the big, gigantic suction cup thingy and actually replaces the windshield.
How do they dislodge the goo that holds the windshield in? Do they have a device that does that?
He goes in there like with some sort of
little putty knife.
Knife, yeah, like a putty knife. Thank you, Mike. And it's a very slow process to get it loosened up. But once you get it loosened up, he puts those big ass clumps on it.
Whoosh, pops right out.
Thing comes right out, and that's when you realize. This is when I had the epiphany I always have. When I see any vehicle being worked on, you realize how ripped off we are when we buy cars. Because even when you see, and I got a nice car.
Oh, like a tank. Right?
I got a really nice car. I'm really proud of it. Yeah. But you see it without its windshield in, and right away you realize.
It's just a piece of metal.
Exactly.
It's a piece of sheet metal.
But more than that, it's metal and cheap plastic.
A lot of plastic.
The cheap plastic that we look at and go, isn't this a great interior? And I spend endless hours armor-rolling and looking at it and going, isn't this marvelous?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a lower grade than the crap that we've got here in the studio.
It is really not that much different than when Henry Ford was churning out cars. I mean, really the
plastic,
basic principle.
Right.
You know, there's more plastic now,
lots more.
But it's really just the same thing. It's the same principle. You know, it's just sheet metal.
And it wasn't like I saw the insides of the car when I always really feel ripped off, like, when you take your car to the shop and they put it up on the jack and you look underneath jack and you see that, you know, there's really nothing fancy at all about this. This is like
nothing space age.
No, it's all the same crap as always.
Well, you got to realize where they put so much of their money. So much of their money goes into the billions of dollars on advertising to make us think that these are space-age incredible vehicles, you know, that can swim and do all sorts of things.
I know, it's just, Mike, it's not easy to see your superhero, your idol, your boyhood hero,
mm-hmm.
your big magical tank that says to everyone, look at me, look at me, I drive a tank, and then to have it taken apart in front of you, and you see, you know what that is, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Rob says it all the time.
What?
Really just his car.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just his model of SUV.
Right? Oh, well, it is. I mean, it's the same. And, it's the same exact frame.
And his model.
Do you know what's different on your car? What's different on your car? The grill, the tail lights, and the trim. Otherwise, it is identical to the one Rob's driving around.
Don't forget my rims, baby.
Your rims, too?
My 21-inch rims,
but
baby.
The grill, and then the interior is completely appointed like a very fancy car.
The engine kicks your ass, though.
Yes, it does. It's not a really bad car like mine. It's a really good car.
But don't sell that car short that you drive around,
because
I see you drive that car maybe two or three nights a week, and I'm calling you the Black Flame.
I have no idea what you were talking about, Mike.
You know,
because I know that the purple flame, or whatever color, that, or the silver flame, certainly would not want me talking about anything that the silver flame may have done either.
You know, you're absolutely right. Consider myself Trump.
But Rob, the point is, because Rob says this to me sometimes.
It is. It's the same chassis.
Like right after I got this car, you know how it is when you get a car and you get your buddies come out, like, come on,
very
sit
proud.
And smell it.
Right.
Rob looked, I remember he said, this is a really nice car. It's the same as mine. It's just it's got some different stuff.
Well, yours is also a year or two older.
Yeah, it's a lot. No, his is newer than mine.
A year or two newer, rather.
This is my new one. But the point is that even then you get to mine and yours, and then whatever the model is that's underneath yours, and even the model that's underneath that one,
sure.
What you're getting is really the basic entry model level for whatever this SUV is.
Your basic frame chassis of the car. That's what everything starts with. Then they're all the same, and then they put the different engines and everything else in them.
The Hummer H2 uses the same chassis as the Tahoe.
That's right.
And then all that. So.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I don't like seeing my car like that. It makes me realize how ripped off I got.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me think of those guys when I drove out of the dealership.
You paid for that?
Great Browning element.
Wow. Is there any car on the road today, seriously, that is in any way, like, different than in principle to the way cars were manufactured, like back in the, you know, days of Henry Ford? I mean, it's just the same stuff.
Well, there was
with
that,
different little shells on them.
There was the talk about that car for a while that could parallel park itself.
Yeah, but yeah, the Lexus.
But as it turns out, there's all kinds of mitigating circumstances. I mean, you've got to be, like, pretty much in the perfect spot.
I mean, do you think that, and you know because of the advertising, you know there were people that bought that car that had a real terrible time parallel parking? And you're liable, incidentally. I think we had that discussion on the show. That you're liable if that screws up and you end up rear-ending somebody.
I'm not going to believe in that technology until they can really pin down the technology of the robo vacuum cleaner.
Right.
And the robo
the Roomba.
And also the one that I saw cut the grass, the lawnmower.
There's a lawnmower that does it automatically?
There's a thing that is in the new whatever it is, Dads and Grads catalog.
Schlemmer, Schlemmer.
Yeah, that's it, bud. Something like that.
Actually mows the lawn and you don't have to be near it?
Well, you know, there's really only one car on the road that is SpaceX.
Okay. This is nice. What kind of car is this?
Caprice Classic.
Very much.
Caprice Classic. Oh, well, you know, who needs technology when Joe Arger has a new power washer?
Welcome to the world of Rob. So anyway, it's not it's refreshing.
Yeah.
To see the car that way.
And your car's now got a new windshield in it.
Brand new windshield.
Shiny and clean, right?
Brand new. But here's what it's like. I would imagine it's like seeing Catherine Zeta-Jones the next morning. You know what I mean?
I see.
That's what it's like seeing the car and the underbelly and everything that goes into it, that it's really...
All of a sudden you look and you see, you know, where there were these sparkling, beautiful eyes, now they're these big bags.
Yeah, you know.
These anus eyes.
Veins.
Mascara,
and,
you know, and just
droop.
Blotches. Yeah, sag, puffiness.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, boy.
Yeah, that's just the same as it always was, there, boy.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to bring up before we just turn it over to everybody. My girlfriend mentioned something to me. That I would bet 99% is an urban legend, but you never know.
Okay.
She's into Craigslist, okay, which is like eBay.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Isn't that like eBay with jobs and stuff like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it's really anything you want.
Personal ads.
Really?
Yeah. Services.
So.
Services?
Long story short, she's got a friend that found a job on Craigslist, and she was telling me, you know, because I eBay sometimes.
Yeah.
Got that eBay problem worked out, incidentally. The guy got his PayPal straightened out.
Good.
So I'm all set. The only item that I have that I have not received yet still is Rob's Nazi helmet.
And that's coming from overseas.
That is coming from Dusseldorf, Germany.
The original.
Yeah.
It's coming over to you, and you haven't gotten that. Have you PayPal'd that one also?
Yeah. And the guy has sent me a note, you know.
Good.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Unfortunately, there seems to be a back order of Rob's German helmet.
So anyway, she was having this discussion with me. Janet was saying, you should check out Craigslist, because I'm getting a little burned out on eBay.
Yeah.
You know, it's like anything. You get into it for a while, and I go through phases with eBay, like I'm sure.
Now, do you surf eBay? Like, you're looking for all sorts of different stuff.
Yeah, and then I get bored, and I end up going back to YouTube for a while.
Right.
And then I get bored, and I go back to eBay.
I just never leave Perez Hilton. I adore him. I seriously adore him.
So she says a lot of Craigslist is people just trading. Mm-hmm. There's no buying and selling. A lot of it is trading.
Sometimes. Yeah.
And she said, for instance, her chiropractor told her about one of the amazing stories of Craigslist, and she says this has happened at least 3 or 4 times, and it's documented. Mm. I don't see how it could possibly work out. A guy starts out, allegedly, by taking a digital picture of a red paperclip. This is why it reeks of urban legend to me, but I don't know.
Heard about that. You start out with a red paperclip.
And he puts it on Craigslist, and he says, I'll trade it to anybody. And it's up there 4 months, and somebody trades him a Bic pen for it.
Okay.
Then somebody trades him a stapler for it. Then somebody trades him, I don't know, a coffee machine for it.
You mean this is everybody trading different things for the red paperclip, or... The pen gets traded for a stapler, it goes pen, then he gets a stapler, and he trades the stapler for something else.
Yes,
right.
He starts with a paperclip, trades it to a guy for a pen,
mm-hmm.
trades the pen for a stapler,
all right.
Trades the stapler for a coffee machine. Ends up, the guy has a car and trades the car for a house. So in essence, the guy started with a paperclip. And what I said to Jan, this is why I don't buy it. What does the guy with the house get out? I mean, somebody's getting gypped in this deal.
Well, if you're talking about houses and cars, you could conceivably have a distress situation with a house and in a nice car. You know, I mean, it, you could that kind of trade is possible,
but that's not how it
would. But you move up from a paperclip?
From a paperclip.
Yep. Not only is this story true, you've turned down this guy for an interview before.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we almost had him on about 8 or 9 months ago.
Oh, I'd love to talk to that guy.
But what happened, what really escalated the value is he somehow met up with a celebrity that was into his story. I forget the details.
Oh, so there's something else involved.
Well, there was a role in a movie or something to that effect, something that a celebrity could swing.
Well, Jan says this has happened, this guy told her, like 3 times, 3 or 4 separate
and
times.
And people just trade it. And they just trade stuff.
Joe, Google red paperclip.
Corbin Burnson is the actor who helped him.
That's right.
Oh, well, from LA, we know how powerful he is in show business.
He's a player.
You know, so, but at one point, before it gets to that, who's the guy that says, okay, you know what, I've got a really nice cappuccino machine. I'll trade it to you for a hammer.
Well, I would think that if it was Pauly like, you know what I'd like? I'd like to know the real stuff. Like, I know you say it started with a red paperclip, but I'd like to know really what was, because you're giving... You're giving random examples, you know, of like the stapler.
Well,
you don't know exactly what it was traded for.
Yeah. The first 4 or 5, I remember the story Janet told me.
So it was
were the exact items.
A pen for a stapler?
Yeah. And that took 4 months, she said.
See, I'd be surprised who would trade a perfectly good stapler for a $1.99 pen.
Joe would.
Does anybody out there have anything on this?
Depends on what you need.
Hold on, yeah. Johnny or Buzz, who's got it? It's a race.
Take it, John.
I've got it. It's called OneRedPaperClip.com. He traded a paperclip for a pen, for some sort of a knob, for some sort of Coleman cooktop, to a generator. I don't know what that is. Instant party. I can't tell what that is. Too small. Jet ski. Oh, it's a kegerator. Thanks, Joe. Traded the kegerator for a Ski-Doo, for a truck, a recording contract. I don't know what that Phoenix is. Again, that's small. And then an afternoon with Alice Cooper. A Kiss snow globe, a movie roll to the house.
So the movie roll he traded for a house?
Yes.
Wow.
And all of us started with a paperclip.
That's what it says.
Well, then I guess it's not an urban legend, but it sounds to me like some celebrities were involved in it.
See, I didn't know any of
it. Like it was a cool story.
Yeah, but not at the beginning. I mean, he really did just start with a paperclip.
And Jan was telling me that this has happened, with 3 or 4 other notable stories.
This is really cool, though, because if you had junk you were going to throw out that might be of value to somebody else, it might be fun.
I've got a whole box of paperclips.
Bid with confidence.
Good luck.
Hello there. The Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Oh.
All right. Well, it's real. Okay. Touche,
hey,
Jan.
Steve.
Hello. Hi, Steve.
Hey, I just calling in regards to American Idol. Did you guys notice within the first couple of measures that Melinda Doolittle actually forgot the words to the song, the very last song she sung?
I'm a Woman.
She forgot it?
Yeah, she did.
There's a couple measures.
I didn't notice it.
She actually forgot the words.
Oh, so they didn't call her on it, which surprises me. They were a little too, I guess it's because it's the final three, but they were a little too overboard with the praise last night, I thought. There really wasn't any decent critique at all from Randy or Paula, and then Simon was even too mellow, I thought.
What should the punishment be for forgetting the words?
I think we've discussed this before, instant beheading.
Mm-hmm.
Now there are ratings.
Be delightful. No, it'd actually be that, what's that movie, Chinatown?
Yeah.
It'd be the Jack Nicholson treatment in Chinatown.
Okay.
Somebody just takes that little switchblade and just walks up to one of their noses and goes, especially Blake, and goes, dink! You know.
I'll go for that. There's a similar scene in the movie. Have you seen the movie Copland?
Yeah, with Sylvester Stallone?
Kind of obscure. I think it's Ray Liotta who goes off maybe on Harvey Keitel, I'm not sure. Anyway, takes a pushpin and bangs him up against the wall of a bar and just shoves this thing so far into his nasal cavity. He's like, you want to talk about my brother again? Yeah, I tell you, son of a bitch.
And there's blood and everything?
Yeah, it's great.
Jeez.
Really good.
Got to look for that.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yep.
Now I just pushed all the boogers in on this side of my nose.
Rearrange the furniture. Get it right out to the fans.
I need a I need a sleeve or a Kleenex.
There are tissues just outside the door.
You need some plastic sheeting.
Oh, hey, Mike, just give me one of those napkins there, please.
Here, how about a tissue?
Oh, there you go. We have them in here.
Delightful.
There you go.
Some Kleenex for you.
Hey, what's up? Don and Mike show.
Yep, it's too bad that you all were into the American Idol. Last night at 9:35, you got the gem of Larry King talking to the Phoebe Robert Shuler about that Porky Pig Jerry Falwell dying, and he farted right on television.
Wait a minute, Larry or Reverend the late Reverend Falwell?
Mike. That is the question of the ages, Mike, because the picture actually was on Robert Shuler, but you clearly and distinctly heard the
All right, well, we gotta find it.
Well, I have someone out there who tapes Larry King. We'll find out.
Somebody who T-voted, it's like right around 9:30, 9:35.
Okay, gotcha.
And if there's
fantastic day, gentlemen.
If there's no definitive proof, we will assume it's Larry King.
It's always Larry.
It's always Larry.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Larry Delton.
Hello. Hey, hello. Yeah, what would they cut on Melinda Doolittle? I mean, she has no neck.
Sometimes we're just stunned.
It's a rhetorical question,
you know?
You would have to, in Melinda Doolittle's case, take off the entire upper torso.
Yeah. And also...
As you turn American Idol into an episode of Saw 4...
So have you heard in Sacramento they're having the Clint Howard wiffle ball tournament?
We're there.
Are you serious?
You serious? Really? KHDK put it on with the commercials.
Why wouldn't our station in Sacramento get us Clint Howard on the show? For God's sake. Who has supported Clint Howard?
Yes,
more nobody. Than we have.
Nobody. And I really think, as opposed to a wiffle ball contest out in Sacramento, you ought to have a Clint Howard lookalike contest. That would be much more successful.
You know what that is, Mike? That's just walking down the street. And I'm talking about men and women.
That's going to a Kings game.
In Las Vegas.
Clint Howard, we love him.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, how's it going?
Howdy, what's up?
Not much. I was wondering if you guys saw that Rambo got busted with steroids in Australia.
When you see news breaking, wait 24 hours. Then don't call the Don and Mike Show.
Dumbass.
Jesus. I like rape.
Talked about it yesterday.
Yeah.
What a stain.
Oh. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don.
Yeah, and Mike. Hi.
Hi, I have a Craigslist thing, but on Copland, I'm not being Mr. Corrector, it's a dart. They're playing darts in the bar, and he takes the dart and puts it in the guy's nose.
A dart, even worse.
Thank you. I had the crux of it correctly, though. Yeah,
yours would have been better. It would have been more creative. A dart's a little bit obvious.
People give away free stuff on Craigslist. I've got two washing machines for free that work perfectly well.
You got two washing machines for free?
One lasted about 2 years, and my current one, I'm about 2 years into that one. People will buy a set because like the dryer breaks. They'll buy a brand new set, and they don't want to take the one that works, the washing machine, to the dump. So just put it up for free. They have a great free listing on Craigslist.
So do you pay for the shipping? Is that all you pay for?
No, it's local. So you just like, you know, I found somebody that lived 5 minutes away from me.
Oh, so you just go pick it up. All right.
Yeah, it's great.
That's kind of neat. Great. Yeah.
Rob has a very good free washing machine. Carrie Spiewak.
provided you have a stream in your backyard.
You're fine and free.
And God knows what's going on to that poor woman. When I called to that home last night, I got the treat of both of them picking up the phone at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And he's like a usual cheery, hello. And she's like,
Don, how are you doing?
Really?
Remember 3 weeks ago when she had laryngitis? Uh-huh.
She still has it?
She's like the Cal Ripken of laryngitis. Iron Man. It continues. It's really a shame.
That's a lot. Yeah, she's not able to talk.
Yeah, I keep telling her, you know, you really shouldn't. You need to rest that voice.
And drink some more of this.
Dear, have some NyQuil.
My love.
With breakfast.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I got a question with Melinda. When you look at her, does she not look like the linebacker on the weak side of, remember, the Titans?
I
look at her, and I'm just like waiting for her to say weak side to have
Lakeisha
say strong side.
she does have a football player neck.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she got no neck.
And Blake doesn't resemble any sports figure whatsoever.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
With his bad nose.
Hello.
Good afternoon, Radio Gods.
Good afternoon.
I sold a stove on Craigslist to Courtney Love's biological father.
Well, stop the show. There's some news.
Winner.
There. There's some news.
Courtney Love's biological father.
What not?
Yes. Okay. He is an overgrown hippie that runs a horse ranch here in the Sacramento area.
Oh, Sacramento.
All right, see you later.
Wow.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I webbed you.
Webbed
you. That means you got the apartment.
Thank you, gay Spider-Man.
Webbed you. Be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hello, I'm a Mac.
And I'm a PC.
You know, I have a 2.5 gigahertz Intel processor and 120 gigabyte hard drive. Oh, and I also come equipped with 2 gigabytes of memory.
Great. And you probably won't forget this.
The Don and Mike Show. Like a backwards brain fart. The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, let's see who's on this line. Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
At your service. What's happening?
How you gentlemen doing?
Just thinking about surf.
Good,
what's happening,
good.
Jaundice? How are you?
Hey, hey, I wanted to, I was trying to place who Melinda Doolittle looks like. And it's D.W. from Arthur, the cartoon. Have you ever seen that?
Oh, God.
Had to write
Melinda.
D.W.
I love Melinda. She's going to win. She's going to win the whole thing.
Hello, Donna, my show.
Actually, I think Melinda looks a lot like Wheezy Jefferson at age 18.
Wheezy Jefferson.
Wheezy Jefferson.
Wheezy Jefferson was one of the no-neck people.
Yeah.
Definitely one of the no-neck, kind of an oversized head and a pixie-like body.
Yep. Wheezy Jefferson, probably good for a TF.
Not, oh, George.
Not now.
Not anymore. You need a shovel.
Well, maybe you're into that. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
It'd
be a BF. That would be a TBF.
Yeah.
T-word bone F.
An NTF.
Usually boneless.
That's true.
A necrophilia.
Boneless.
We'd have to ask George.
Corpse. George! Hello. What's up? Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don. Hey.
Hi there.
Trade.
Nice phone.
Red paper clips. Dash.
I think you should trade a paperclip for a better phone.
Are you in under a bridge or something?
No, give me.
Wow.
How many bars do you have? Can you hear
me
now?
I got seven.
You do not.
Liar.
Nobody has seven bars.
All right, I have four. Did you hear my question?
No.
Okay,
now we can. How many bars do you have now, really?
No, I have three. I'm good now.
No, how do you know? Because you've not looked at your phone.
Look at your phone, because really, your cell phone's horrible.
I have two red paper clips. I trade Buzz for his staff.
Look at your
phone.
You
know, your agenda, I know you're trying to be, your phone keeps dropping out.
We think it would really be helpful if you really did look at your phone to see how many bars you have.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on.
Hold it away and look.
I have two, I swear.
All right, hang up and call back tomorrow.
Call back when you have four. It's a four bar show.
Something about red paper clips.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, good afternoon.
Hi,
gentlemen.
Hi.
Yeah, I think Jordan's going to win the competition.
Thanks for the scintillating contribution to the show.
That's well,
the reason why I say she's going to win is she's a relative of the Jacksons.
She's a relative of the Jacksons?
Yes, sir. And Paul Jackson Jr. on guitar, and it's another guy in the band. They are related. So
who, related
figure,
to who? To the kid toucher, Michael Jackson?
Yes. Randy, that's Randy.
Well, I knew
Randy.
She has a famous father. Her father's a football player.
Felipe.
Yeah, he's kin to the Jacksons, like the third cousin.
He what?
He's like the third cousin to the Jacksons.
Felipe Sparks is a third cousin to the Jacksons?
Yeah, somewhere down there, along the line.
Oh, hold on. Rob is screaming something in the background. Well,
I think Rob's saying that the guy said he's kin.
He's kin.
He's kinfolk.
Kinfolk.
Well, somebody Google that.
I didn't know that.
I don't know if that's pertinent or not, but let's just Google it anyway.
The Guitar Jackson, Paul Jackson Jr., he's kin to the Jacksons. He played on Billie Jean, that's their cousin, and it's a plan. It's a non deal. Doesn't she look like a little young Janet Jackson?
She does have a little Janet Jackson in her face. She really does.
Oh, no. I mean, she's so puffy compared to Janet Jackson.
If she slimmed down, she'd be a knockout.
Even when Janet Jackson got fat recently for that movie or whatever, and then she lost it all like that.
I still think of the internet pictures of Janet Jackson sunning herself.
Dynamite. What other thing?
Yes, sir.
I like to say Oakland's in the house.
Oakland's in the house?
Not this
Oak
guy.
Town. Yeah. Leo.
Oak Town.
Didn't we spend a whole segment with you one day?
I can't remember.
Nice that he can't remember.
I think so. Hello, Donna, Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, what's up?
I think Rob stole his idea for that pick a pair lame game yesterday from a radio commercial this morning.
From a what?
A commercial from Applebee's. They're promoting a pick-a-pair something meal deal special.
I stole it from WEAM in the 60s. They had a contest called pick-a-pair, but I didn't know how it worked. I just liked the name.
Oh, okay. Well, it's running out here in the Sacramento area.
Well, Rob has now said that he stole it somewhere else. Isn't there something you'd like to say to Rob?
Well, he's a dork, but, you know.
See, there's the agenda, Rob. You always know there's the agenda. When they're calling with something like that, there's always the agenda. It's not just an innocent. Incidentally, I think Rob stole that.
I'm not surprised the Soggy Pump picked up on that. Because every time.
Soggy Pump.
Every time an Applebee's spot comes on television or the radio and you're sitting on your smelling couch, you look at it, don't you?
Hey, listen.
You fat cow.
I don't have a dog in this fight, but honey, I do have to say this. That the premise of your call is entirely preposterous that you're saying that Rob invented the lame game simply because a restaurant chain has a promotion known as Pick a Pair.
And the point that she's making is entirely moot because Pick a Pair has already been canceled.
And very good.
I bet if you put your hand in your stretch pants, you could pick a pair.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Quick,
okay, you
quick,
guys have
into the car, into the frozen custard stand.
But I want to love you. I want to love you.
No,
definitely.
You don't. No, you don't.
Yes, I do, Rob.
No, the odor would really throw you off.
Missy, might I ask the celebrity you most resemble?
I don't. I don't think I resemble him.
Oh, see, now you can't call the bus driver.
What do you do with an elderly woman?
Oh, my goodness. Are you telling me
I know the celebrity you most resemble. Devil's Tower.
What the hell is that?
The mountain.
The mountain. All right, bye, honey.
Bye-bye.
This is the mountain from Close Encounters.
Devil's Tower. How many times have I told you? Stop stealing from Applebee's.
Always. You know, I've got a pocket full of barbecue sauce right now.
When you're going to come up with a lame idea, don't steal it from Applebee's, Robbie.
Who shall I steal it from, Fridays?
The integrity of Pick a Pair.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
It's all in the book.
Hello. Oh, just...
Rob, that was another little fat girl calling to tell you stole that idea.
Capital R-U-D-E. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike. Secretary Heller here. I have a question for Rob Speedwack.
You sound nothing like William Devane.
That's the funny part.
I have a question for Mr. Speedwack.
Yes, go ahead.
Rob, why is it everything you touch comedically dies?
You can say the same, my friend. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, welcome to Bad Phone Wednesday.
Hello, welcome to Bar Wednesday.
Hey, goodness.
Hey, ba-ba, hey, ba-ba, hey, ba-ba, boo-ba. Hey, ba-ba,
big, 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 bigger than big, bigger than big, 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 bang, 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 bang.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Dirk Nowitzki has admitted a new game. It's called Get a Pair.
Now, after all that, after all of that, all
Jesus
we went
Christ.
Through, all we suffered through, and then he comes up with that.
Seriously. Dude, we don't even do sports talk radio.
Dude, the guy's soft.
He's soft.
He's soft.
Who the hell are we talking about here? I don't even know the guy. I couldn't pick the guy out of a lineup.
The guy for the Dallas Mavericks who won the MVP, even though he sucked in the first round of the playoffs.
All right.
Let me just say, I'm tired of little pricks like you calling sports radio shows and saying something like, hey, that Dirk Nowitzki soft in your white tee. I guarantee you would say, Mr. Nowitzki, can I please slurp you? He's soft.
Geico commercials.
He is so soft, he could pound your head into the backboard a million times without thinking twice about
That's
it.
That's why I didn't know who the guy was. It was a basketball player. Have you heard about the feud now that Trump is starting to start with Mark Cuban? And it's not getting any traction at all. It's not getting any legs.
No, why? What's he saying about Mark Cuban?
He's calling Mark Cuban a loser, and he's saying that he wants to be a player, that Mark Cuban wants to be a player. And that's why he owns the team. And the team would win more and go further in the playoffs if Mark Cuban wasn't the owner. And Mark Cuban does a little rebuttal on it, but it's the gist of the story is that Donald Trump is just trying to do, you know, the same old shtick that people are getting tired of.
He's
picking a fight, and it doesn't seem to be working. And the fact that it's not in the mainstream media would indicate it's not getting any traction at all. You know, he takes on Rosie. That's a different story.
Right.
But Mark Cuban, zero.
And Dirk Nowitzki, that story is so 1 month ago. I mean, it is. Was it Rob chiming in? Like, Rob, here's a question for you.
Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah.
Who did Dallas lose to in the first round of the playoffs?
Oh, that other team. They played so poorly. Their name is James. I don't like basketball.
I know you don't. I know you don't. Anyway, Golden State. Golden State Warriors, everybody.
Golden State's still in the league?
You think Stoudemire should be out of the game tonight? I don't mind.
I think they should leave Stoudemire in. Are you talking about the suspension?
Yeah. Hey, good for you. See, Mike, you know what?
What?
If this whole crazy FCC thing ever really blows up in our face...
Mm-hmm.
We could do sports talk like that.
Oh, absolutely.
Could we do it like that?
Yeah, it's just a question of paying attention. And that's the whole thing, you know. You listen to sports talk, it's, you know, every guy, every man has a sport that he loves to watch on TV more than any other. And, you know, what sports talk, they pay attention to everything. You know, that's it.
What if we just talked about the sports we like?
We could do that. You know what? We'd actually, one guy would be able to, like, phone it in during the off season. Like, you know, during basketball, the playoffs. But see, we'd both be contributing because I'd get back into hockey again. And so we'd be able to cover hockey and basketball. Then during the baseball season, you'd fake it. And during football season, but I kind of like football. And you could probably work it up for baseball a little bit.
Could you ever imagine coming and starting the show and going, okay, only 10 more home runs and Barry Bonds ties that record. What do you think about that?
Do you remember how we reacted to those guys when they put us at the Super Bowl or at the Final Four? When we'd have to be in a room with those guys, especially when we, you know, that we look at the Mad Dog and that guy, when we'd always be next to that hump.
And as angry as we get at our regular idiot callers, the callers that I hear on Sports Talk Radio are all, hold on, where is that?
He's undersized testing.
I mean, absolutely, it's, you know, I want this guy soft. This guy, his game is gone. He's got nothing left.
I mean, sports talk was as far as radio, was a tiny little phenomenon that happened on a lot of radio, AM radio stations at night for in a few markets, and it got very, very popular. And then with ESPN, that was kind of a spin-off of that, and it got bigger and bigger. And now you got all these guys that are like, yap, 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 and you're absolutely right. You get them in a room. Well, sports writers have always been like this. Right. You know that. When you go to a press room at a sporting event, you'd always see these guys that were always smirky, always out of shape, and, you know, they write these horrible things. And, you know, if they really get challenged on it, you know, which happens occasionally, you'll see the guys get challenged. You know, they back down. It's great.
We could do that real easy, though. God damn, we could do that so easy.
I'd hate it. I'd hate every minute of it.
Is that what you want? Is that what you want, Rock? Come on.
Oh, that'd be too easy.
Should the Packers fine Brett Favre for not going to the mandatory minicamp, Mike?
Was the suspension fair when you've got two guys that basically play the same position? I don't think so. I think the NBA really dropped the ball on this one. God, shut up.
I know that if we ever did sports talk radio, it would always end up being Well, I was going to mention this on the show the other day. On eBay, someone has Brian Urlacher's jockstrap from the Super Bowl.
Really?
Up for auction on eBay. Now, you cannot put a picture of underpants on eBay.
Oh, that's stupid. You can't show the jock?
You can't show the jock, although
that's
the guy
stupid too.
Although the guy writes that he got it from the locker room.
Is that like eBay's standard? That they don't show underwear? Right. Is that their little eBay culture police there?
If we ever did sports radio, that would be the extent of our sports radio. We'd be talking about who would buy Brian Urlacher's jock strap.
Yeah, and how many stories are there like that? Yeah. We'd do that, and we would closely follow Shaquille O'Neal's pursuit of becoming chief of police.
But we could do the Shaq and Dennis show every day.
We could do that indeed. Indeed we could. And we'd say indeed more than we do on the show.
A lot.
You have to.
Let me do a search right now. What is it I just said that we were looking for?
Brian Urlacher's jock. Brian Urlacher's jock that they can't show on eBay. And I want to see Well, that's not fair, though. I mean, if you don't see it.
There's too much of a market of people who want to see underwear, and that's why eBay had to make that rule.
Oh, okay.
See, especially if it's less than fresh.
See, there it is. A few bad apples, Buzz.
That's
spoiling
right.
It for everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
We've just got a healthy sports interest in buying our locker's jock strap.
I wonder if there was a few bad apples in there.
Oh, man, it reminds me of the first time I bought my first jock and cup. Man, oh, man. Those were the days. That's a big deal for kids playing sports, like playing football, midget football, going out and buying a jock strap with a cuff.
Just Urlacher and then listed from most expensive to cheapest.
Okay. All right, hold on. And incidentally, spell it the sports way. That's E-A-R-L-O-C-K-E-R.
Hold on, Mike. U-R-L-A-C-H-E-R. Is that it?
Sounds right.
Urlacher. Your source for sports news, the Don and Mike show.
Yeah, let me tell you what we're going to talk about. Listen, we got a lot of stuff to come in. Talk about, if you will, the way you guys felt coming down the tunnel with the hanging. He's soft.
Going, okay, I see. Price highest first. Here we go. Thank you, Robbie. I forgot we're in your wheelhouse on this.
Yeah, exactly.
Bid with confidence. He knows his stuff.
Brian Urlacher hat. Brian Urlacher jersey, autographed jersey. Well, where's the jock strap, for goodness sake?
Game worn means it hasn't been laundered since, right?
Yes, that's correct.
What's it worth if they launder it? I mean, all of the Urlacher stuff is gone.
That's right.
Hey, boo, I can't find it now.
Well, I'm sure it's sold.
Jesus Christ.
Are there a lot of game worn pieces of underwear?
There are 13 pages of Brian Urlacher stuff. What do you want to put? Jock?
Search for jock.
Urlacher, jock?
Yeah, because...
Jock strap.
Well, he put jock strap in as one word and it didn't come up.
And I would not bid a nickel on it unless you get the cup with it.
Nothing was found.
But you know what? They have a rules, I think, in soiled clothing.
You think it's already been pulled off?
They have rules about soiled clothing. Well, that's for the same reason the Buzz said they don't have pictures of underwear.
Oh, well, that's thanks.
It's game worn.
You're part of the
sports fans.
Brian Urlacher, rotten crotch, and his pretty pink panties.
That's what we would do sports talk about. Yeah. You know, how much would you pay for those, for that?
That would be 4 hours of our sports talk show.
Right.
We would be talking about that, and then it would evolve into, what athletic supporter would you most covet? What would be the, what jocks in the world of sports would you really like to keep as a trophy?
Did you smell them?
Would you?
Yeah.
Not just any athlete. Though,
if it was
right.
Someone special,
star athlete,
someone special, like Peyton,
put David Ortiz's jock on my head.
You can tell that,
but it's not the same sport. I mean, like, they wear. A regular baseball player doesn't necessarily wear a cup. A catcher does.
Get David Ortiz. Just get his underpants.
You get his. Get his underwear. I'm there. Absolutely.
Soon, really.
Buzz, whose jock would you sniff?
I can't imagine. I was sitting here thinking of that, and I can't think of an
athlete. Buzz, we get whoever that jockey is, everybody loves that just won that stupid horse race. The guy that just won last week.
You know what I was going to say? This is good sports talk. Oh, yeah, the little guy.
the midget.
The little bitty guy. The guy that does the TV commercial.
And they don't wear them in NASCAR, so...
Yeah, but can you imagine NASCAR underwear?
Juan Pablo Montoya,
really, you want to talk about the temperatures alone?
Just NASCAR underwear?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I'd have to go with my man, Tony Stewart.
Oh, gross.
That's Tony so Stewart. Gross. He'd have the grossest.
Oh, he would have the grossest. Going away, he would have the grossest.
Look at him.
He would have the grossest.
He's the biggest pig in NASCAR.
Yes. And then that would be, well, I mean, as far as desirable, followed up by Junior. You'd probably want to have Dale Junior's
yes.
right after that.
Yes.
The nicest underwear would be, of course, Jeff Gordon.
Right. Or Jimmy Johnson.
Jimmy Johnson, another. I would want Michael Waltrip's briefs. Could I have Michael Waltrip's briefs, please? Thank ye. Thank you very much.
We'll continue our discussion on the chase to 755.
And then you could get NASCAR or racing vintage briefs.
Oh.
Like, who's the guy that I'm thinking of right now? The guy that wears the sunglasses and the cowboy hat all night.
Kyle Petty or...
Richard Petty.
Richard Petty.
That's not
Richard
Petty's underwear.
And imagine, Mike, if you had Dale Sr.'s underpants.
That's not a racing stripe. A.J. Foyt's undies. Oh, hello. Just a world of underwear. Wow. For some reason, I think NASCAR would be way up there. Those guys have serious issues. They've got to be out on that track for so long.
Hey, a lot of those guys go in their pants. I mean, it's like House last night. A lot of those guys go in their pants.
Well, don't they have, like, a method of dealing with that?
Yeah, they've got, like, the...
They've got a catheter, don't they?
A space suit system. I think some of them have something that was made by Gatorade.
That actually, where they can go. Because they have to hydrate during the race. They have to drink during the race.
Flows back into the tubs?
It allows them, on one hand, to drink out of a tube that hopefully is not filled with stuff from the other
that's
bottle.
That's my concern.
That's
yeah.
We have just proven, unquestionably, that we could handle sports
there
talk.
You know, it's pretty entertaining.
This was a sports talk segment.
You know, we got
don't follow the yellow car too close.
We got a break. Perhaps we should spring this on management. Tell them we want to change the
format.
Just change to make sure that we're cool with the times.
Yeah, all right, all just right,
change,
absolutely.
Change the whole thing to sports talk.
Sports talk.
Sports talk.
Sports talk. God.
Sports talk.
Oh, I hate it so much. I really do. I hate it so much.
You'd be so out of the gig, Buzz.
I know. What do you think I've been sitting here thinking about?
Don't worry, I'll
be over here if you need me.
They're not coming down on us yet.
Buzz the weather.
When we come back, I know the guy from TMZ.
Oh, finally.
Yes, we want to have this guy on the show. We'll talk to him in just a moment.
Very good. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Remember Sheriff Joe we had on yesterday about Paris Hilton?
Yes.
Here he is.
Joe Arpaio.
Last night. Doing much of the same spiel on Fox News.
Well, it does get hot there, like 130 degrees, and our meals are like 13 cents a meal, two meals a day, and I took away the porno and the coffee and the salt and the movies and the radio, so I'm sure she would not be too happy there, and she would have the opportunity of working on a chain gang on the streets. But I don't think she'll want to come here. But it's still very disgusting if you're rich and famous to come up with excuses not to have her do the full time.
The Don and Mike Show.
That's Joe.
He's one of them.
Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Get it.
Armed with only their wit and their guns, Don and Mike.
We're going to talk a little more about Paris Hilton now with Harvey Levine from TMZ.com. Should mention that Brian Urlacher, jockstrap on eBay. It was a one-day auction, and it sold for $256.
I thought you were going to put some more zeros there. No, I got scared, Mark.
And Levine. Not, what did I say?
Levin. Harvey Levin.
I'm sorry. Harvey, hello. My mistake. Hello, sir.
Hey, guys.
Hi there.
Anyway, how are you, Harvey?
The Brian Urlacher thing sold.
Oh, good. Okay, that's a good thing.
Harvey.
$250 for his jock.
TMZ.com.
Yeah.
Were you guys even in existence before the Mel Gibson thing happened?
Yeah, I mean, we were like 6-7 months before that we started.
And now you're pretty much becoming the gold standard as far as, you know, a source for gossip in Hollywood, right?
Well, you know, I beg to differ just a little bit.
Go ahead and differ.
I'll tell you. I mean, you know what? We really run this like a news organization. I mean, we're not like gossiping where we're rolling the dice on stories. I mean, we're really, you know, we run it like, you know, we're covering the kind of, it's like the Pope without underwear.
I got you.
But I guess you have to live in a world where I would imagine to just on pure coverage to get as wide as you do to cast the wide net, you got to be, you got to hang around a few of the bottom feeders, don't you?
Well, I mean, it depends on how you define it. I mean, you know, if we cover people like Britney Spears, is she a bottom feeder? I don't know. Your judgment. You know, Paris Hilton, same thing. I mean, we just kind of go where Hollywood goes.
About Paris Hilton, we were talking about this yesterday or the day before when we were going to have you on. Something about you've got a letter from, or you spoke to Patty Hearst.
I really did.
About Paris Hilton. What does Patty Hearst possibly have to say about Paris Hilton?
Well, it was hilarious because the insider apparently was running promos saying that last Monday they were going to do a story that Patty Hearst was giving advice to Paris Hilton on how to do hard time. And it really upset Patty Hearst because she said she had never done it. So she got in touch with me, and it really was Patty Hearst. And I said, well, look, you know, let's write a letter to, and I'll post it on TMZ. So she wrote this hilarious letter where she was basically saying, not only did I not do it, but if I'm going to give advice, I'm going to give advice to the other people in the jail to flee from Paris.
What is, speaking of Paris Hilton, what is the latest as far as, you know, we had Sheriff Joe on yesterday talking about the fact that because of overcrowding, they're thinking about maybe reducing her sentence. Where does that stand right now with her?
Well, no, I mean, that's not going to happen. I mean, she's going to serve. She'll get some credit, but she's probably going to do at least 39 of those 45 days. She really is.
I'm sorry to laugh at
and,
that.
Harvey, I don't know if they told you or not, we do a regional show that's based out of D.C., and I know that there was a lot of talk for TMZ D.C. They're going to move the location here for all the crap that goes on here. Has that been given the Deep Six? Are you still working on that? What's the status?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, without kind of like talking about what our business plan is, I mean, that's something we've been exploring, and that's as far as I want to take it, but yeah, we explored it.
Did a lot of that come about due to the D.C. Madam thing, which ended
No, it was before that. I mean, we had looked at that before that. No, I mean, it's just, you know, we're looking for good stories. I mean, really, that's what this is about. They're all, I mean, and they could be simple stories. I don't know if you saw our story yesterday. I mean, it was four words, but somebody here thought of, you know, a farewell to Jerry Falwell. And all we did was we put Jerry Falwell, 1933 to 2007. But then we had a picture of a Teletubby waving goodbye.
All right. Yeah. I forgot about that. I always thought they were the gay thing.
Nice to see that Ike Turner's back in the news, too.
Ike Turner got busted again. I mean, what a shock, huh?
And what about, what was John telling me, pot smokers at the Playboy Mansion?
Yeah, they had this thing. It was a marijuana, basically partially legalizing marijuana. Uh-huh. And, but they had signs all over the Playboy Mansion saying that marijuana use would not be tolerated. But one of our spies at the event said, I mean, you smelled it everywhere. I mean, it was just everywhere, this thing.
Harvey, how mainstream do you think TMZ is now? You don't even have to say .com to most people now.
Right.
You just say TMZ, and they know what you're talking about. Are you surprised at how mainstream it is? And realistically, will the bubble burst? And if not, where do you see TMZ in a year from now?
I mean, I don't see the bubble bursting at all. I mean, this is, you know, people have always been fascinated by celebrities. And until we really started this thing, I mean, you got celebrities by basically, you know, watching them on red carpets with perfect hair and perfect makeup and perfect relationships. But it's not really the way it is. And, you know, as long as people are interested in celebrities, I think this kind of treatment of the, you know, of celebrities, their real lives, I think people are interested in it. I think they're into it.
You know, I would think that you would probably have enough notoriety now where celebrities might approach you. Does that happen?
Oh, all the time. Yeah. They do.
They try. Is it usually damage control, or do they want to plant something?
It depends. I mean, you know, we talk to lots of people in this town, and, you know, sometimes when they're in trouble, they'd rather come to us because we give them a fair shake. I mean, we put their point of view in. We don't make stuff up. So, yeah, I mean, you know, we give them the best bad story they can get.
What was your feeling, for instance, when the Mel Gibson thing, the famous Mel Gibson thing, when you get the call about that, and you go to your computer and someone has sent you that, and you go, my God, I mean, is it like you're looking at a pile of money?
No. In fact, and that's not at all the way this thing happened. With Mel Gibson, I mean, we got the tip that he got arrested and ran the story, but the sheriffs told us it was without incident, and worked that story all day long. That was a hard-fought story where they told us we were wrong, it didn't happen, it was without incident, all the stuff you're hearing is not true. And we really, really worked that story. And, you know, it was, I'll tell you, it was, you could have been in the Washington Post doing something for, you know, on a politician, but this was a really sensitive, hard-fought story where everybody was denying it.
I would imagine that you also have to weed out an awful lot of crap that comes to you guys.
I mean, everything we do, we vet. I mean, we don't put it up there unless we know it's true. And, yeah, there's tons of stuff that we don't post.
Do you ever get into a situation where somebody will plant something with you guys, somebody will call you, it'll be an unknown, you'll hear something about a celebrity, you'll try to vet it, you don't succeed, and then all of a sudden you find out it's true? Does that happen often?
Yeah, I mean, we've done stories that we can't, or not done stories that we couldn't confirm, and then later found out they were true. Absolutely, it happens all the time. But the downside is that if you put it up because you really believe it's true, but you're not positive, and then it turns out not to be, it's pretty bad for your credibility. So we, you know, I'd rather lose some stories than put a bunch of them up and then find out, 10% of them are wrong.
Who am I to give you advice, Harvey? But we were talking about where TMZ will be in a year. I would think that America now is becoming savvy enough that there's a certain amount of dopey idiots that'll watch Entertainment Tonight and go gaga. But if you have the opportunity to have fluff crap that's just put there by a publicist or real stories about celebrities, I'll watch the real stories anytime as opposed to the crap fluff stuff. Have you ever thought about TMZ going up against directly Entertainment Tonight, The Insider?
Funny you should mention, TMZ is going to become a television show in September, and it's going to be a half-hour show 5 days a week, and it's going to be on all the Fox-owned and operated stations as well as other stations all around the country, but we're 95% of the country. It's going to be a big show. It starts September 10th.
I didn't know that, and that's smart. I'm not saying that because I said that, because obviously you guys thought of it. Will you take the same tone as you do on your website?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not going to, we're not, we don't cover red carpets, we don't do junkets, we don't do any of that stuff. We do real stories, and, you know, they tend to be more raw, they tend to be, they'll have an edge to them, they'll have our voice, and, you know, we're not there to necessarily, you know, have publicists call up and say, oh, come over for dinner. I mean, we're just not into that.
All right, Lindsay Lohan, you hear so much, I mean, she is, every photo op you see. But really, when it comes right down to it, there have been some pictures that have been seen, but with the information you get, I mean, is this somebody who is, you know, destined for a big blow-up? Is this something that is a lot of the stuff that we hear? Do you think it's true? I mean, it's hard to tell, really. She's so exposed, and you hear so many things about her. I just don't know, what is truth and what isn't.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really want to talk about the things I've heard, but yeah, I mean, I think Lindsay's got troubles.
Okay.
And I think that part of it is because she grew up in such a dysfunctional family.
Right.
That, you know, it's hard. I mean, she's young, she's rich, she's famous. She comes from parents who are just warring, you know, who have put each other in jail. And I don't know how somebody gets grounded with that kind of an upbringing. And, yeah, she's even admitted she's had her trouble, but I think it's been a rough road for her. And I don't think she's out of the woods in it.
And the last thing I want to ask you, Harvey, I don't know if you guys broke it or someone else did the whole Alec Baldwin thing with his...
That was our story.
Okay. Then, good. I'm glad you guys did. Without saying Kim Basinger is the one who gave it to him.
Oh, I'm so not going to tell you that.
Or somebody on their side. Do you ever have a tinge of conscience if somebody comes to you and says, I got this tape of Alec Baldwin screaming at his kid, and you know that there's two sides to the story, but my God, who can't put this thing...
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
I mean, I'd be like you. I'd be up there screaming from the highest mountaintop, look what I got.
No. Let me tell you something. As a matter of fact, we didn't run the David Hasselhoff tape, because that one to me felt like it was solely meant to embarrass. I mean, pretty clearly, it was released by Pamela Bach's side, you know, and, you know, that one, though, was only meant to embarrass. I mean, it wasn't part of the court record or anything else, just meant to embarrass. Alec Baldwin was a difficult one for us. I mean, we turned down a lot of stuff because of a yuck factor and because it invades privacy. But Alec Baldwin, and it was, we spent 2 days thinking about that before we did anything. And, you know, it was part of a court case. It was submitted into evidence. It was the key exhibit that changed the temporary arrangement, and it wasn't sealed. So in even with that, I got to tell you, I mean, that was a tough call, and we made a call on that one. And, you know, we don't want to cause people pain. I mean, that's not what we're doing. But we really felt, ultimately, it was an important story.
You're not going to tell me how many reporters you have on the payroll, are you?
Well, no. I mean, we have a total staff. I mean, we've talked about it before. We have a total staff, including all the, you know, technical people of 25 people.
Just 25 people.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And what about
stringers, no sources.
No stringers at all.
No, we have tons of sources.
There you go. All right. Well, listen, Harvey, you're fascinating. You wouldn't say who's the next big one. Let me ask you.
Well, you know, he might know right now. He might know right now.
Who knows? I mean... That's the thing about this. When I went to work the day the Mel Gibson, when I went to work the day the Michael Richards thing happened, who knew?
Right.
I mean, Michael Richards was not in my consciousness.
But the thing that fascinates me, Harvey, is that you've talked about a lot of these stories that you spend 2 days on. And I would be curious, are you on perhaps the second day of anything that we might be really looking forward to seeing?
You know, I mean, yes.
Okay. Oh, yes.
Well, but I can't tell you.
Well,
but yes.
Okay.
There are actually two things going on that are really interesting. And, you know, I mean, that's what makes this.
You on our show, Harvey.
Good talking to you guys.
We like TMZ.com a lot. Thanks for coming on, Harvey.
Thanks, guys.
Nice. See ya.
That's Harvey Levin, TMZ.com.
That's Levine, Mike.
Is it Levine or Levin?
No, I got it wrong the first time.
Harvey Levine. So he was the one that broke the Alec Baldwin one, but he didn't break the David Hasselhoff.
Right.
It sounds like you chose not to.
Yeah. Because, you know, there's that line. That line that says, this is not okay.
I'm going to stop.
And this is okay.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
I mean, you know.
Don, how much time do we spend when we get this stuff that comes to us? We spend... What is it? 20 seconds? Is
that
what the time that it takes to duplicate it from like the internet onto an MP3?
You don't even listen to it. They just bring it in. It says Alec Baldwin sands up, and we play it.
You know, I was going to ask him if he thinks that it changes the way celebrities behave. It doesn't, because the celebrities are always going to want to go out. They're always going to want to be seen. They're always going to want to be partying, and they're always going to live that kind of fishbowl pressure cooker life. So I think it's unlimited.
All right, good. Well, he was good. Yeah. I'm glad we waited for him. And, John, you're safe. You're safe again.
Once Congratulations, again. John Norman.
Thank you.
Very good.
Another 24-hour contract.
That's delightful.
To call and say thank
did anybody hear through our paper? What's he doing?
He's thanking someone for the interview, I believe.
Oh,
he
just turned off the microphone.
Oh. Just a quick question. Oh, you guys are listening to me as I finish up the phone call.
Are you doing some...
What are you doing?
Some mining for gold there, John?
I am saying thank you for the interview. I'm producing.
You are awesome.
Okay. You're awesome.
Well, Mike, I'm sorry.
I was going to ask you if we had Harvey on the line, if you noticed
our
paper thin walls with thunder just coming through.
Yeah. Yes, I did.
Quite a little storm passed through Rockville when we were doing that.
It's done. We made it on the other side.
Yay!
Made it on the other side. The Brian Urlacher thing that we were talking about.
Yeah,
the jockstrap sold for $236. Part of the deal was when you bought it, the guy had already made a deal with the Chicago Tribune to write an article about the person who bought jockstrap.
Okay, so that was the whole purpose of that was for a newspaper article or not?
Not really. What happened was the guy put the jockstrap up, saying it's only going to be up for one day.
All right.
The Chicago Tribune contacted him and said we want to do a story. He then added that to the auction list, saying. If you want to buy it and be anonymous, that's okay. But if you want your name out there, the Chicago Tribune has already contacted me. They want to do a story on the Dumas that actually buys Brian Urlacher's jock.
And you know they're probably... did we ever find out whether the buyer was anonymous or...
Do not know yet.
Yes, you'll have to read the Tribune.
Waiting to hear.
Yes, so.
Just the way that's going to work.
More sports talk. Coming right off.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You take all four, go up those stairs, and you can win $40,000 with those four Plinko chips. And here is the $10,000 slot right here. Hold one chip flat against the board and let it go. And here it comes. It's hung up. But we are prepared for all emergencies. Wow. My Plinko stick. My Plinko stick. Now, this does not count. This does not count. No, this doesn't count. I'm going to give it back to you. But look at...
Look at that, Bob.
I ask you, what am I offered for my Plinko stick? Gwendolyn, will you take this back up to her? She'll try it again. There you go. Don't give me that old business. I get the $10,000.
Bob.
Bob.
It's humiliating. I'm sure that all of you men in the audience would not like to be up here where I am discussing your sex life. I went into this, though, knowing that this was a price that I would have to pay.
Bob, Bob.
I am wearing a handsome medal from the Special Olympics. Christopher Whitman, stand up here. Christopher was on the championship basketball team in the Special Olympics, and he presented me with his medal. Yes. Thank you, Christopher. Thank you. I am honored. Now, who's our next player, Burton?
Burton.
Bob.
Our top winner in the showcase is Gay.
The Don and Mike Show.
No doubt we love Bob Barker.
A couple of mouth-breathing Johnny. Don and Mike.
Everybody does.
Bob, you're leaving us tonight, aren't you?
Don.
Bob, actually, you're not leaving us. Is tonight the last prime time?
No. Wrong. You are wrong, Don Geronimo.
What's the show that's on tonight?
Tonight is the CBS Price is Right spectacular finale. And then tomorrow's a tribute to me, Bob. And then I tape my last episode for the Price is Right. I tape that on June 6th, and then it's over. And I only feel one way.
What's that? You must be elated.
No. Wrong. I want to die. I want to die. And I wish that I could die on the Price is Right $1 million spectacular tonight on CBS. They're running me off. They are running me off of the show. I am not as spry. I know that. I'm not as spry as I once was. But I will tell you that I feel that I could continue, Donald. I could continue doing the Price is Right for another 10 years. I told them at CBS, I told Leslie Moonves that I could do it till I was in my 90s. But they said, no, Bob, you know, you can't continue forever. And I said, but I'm doing fine.
What is this talk about ending your life?
No one can replace me.
True.
I know they're going to continue. That's the problem. And I said, if you tell me to leave, I'll let you do the $1 million spectacular. I'll let you do the tributes. But after that, I will come on the radio with Don Geronimo and publicly say that I wish to end my life before I die of natural causes. I will die by neutering myself. That's right. Okay. I will neuter myself on intranet.
So you
that's what I will do.
You don't want to leave the Price is Right then?
I would like to leave the Price is Right on my own terms. I'm being run out on a rail. It's not fair. I'm upset and I am very tired.
Have you heard the names?
The names of what?
John O'Hurley.
Crap.
Gay. Dave Price.
Gay.
Wow. Rosie O'Donnell.
Let me ask you, why do you think they are in some way trying to replace Bob with all gay hosts? It's a conspiracy. I've always said it's a conspiracy to fill my shoes with a homosexual. and I will not stand for it. Maybe I won't neuter myself. Maybe we'll have another million-dollar spectacular, and we'll pick a way for Bob to die. Let's play Hole in the Ground. That's a good game, Hole in the Ground, or Permanent Stinko.
Now,
I want to die.
Now, Bob, you have so
I
many
want
reasons.
To die and cry.
So many reasons to live, Bob.
Yeah. What I do, Don, now that my lovely, lovely wife of many years, Dorothy Jo, is no longer around, what I wish to do is go home with my dogs. I have many of them. Drink three or four fingers of tequila. Go into my backyard and die. Like a dog crawling into the bushes. I love to use the Price is Right to get tails. That's what I'll miss the most. I will miss the sex. Bob Barker will miss the sex. Was wonderful.
You get laid today?
I got laid every day through the entire career, and I didn't get laid today because we weren't taping. When we would tape, here's the way the show works.
Okay,
I would arrive at CBS Television City, and I would go into the Bob Barker studio, named after me. No one else named after me, Bob. And I would pick one of my beauties for the day. Who will service Bob today? And I would use the Hugh Hefner method. Cover Bob in baby oil.
Oh.
And then Bob will finish himself.
Oh, dear.
As I always did.
I like that, too.
I enjoyed it just about as much as I enjoyed Hole in One or Two. I've had two beauties. I've even had three. Back in the Janus days with Diane Parkinson, I was known to service three beauties simultaneously. Who wants to see Bob do that? I love my audience, but I will not miss the smell. I won't miss the smell on The Price is Right.
What about all those college kids that watch you and make you the cultural icon that you are?
Now, Don.
Yes, Bob.
All of the contestants on The Price is Right all come to CBS Television City.
Yeah.
Wait a very long time in line. Many times it's hot. And they come into the studio unbathed, unshowered, and the smell is awful no matter how much air conditioning we put. I've broken the skin.
Oh, careful.
My skin is wafer thin, paper thin now. I have black age spots all over my forearms, and you'll notice that my hands, this is what comes of age. I'll show you if you would like to look at my hands. That the fingers, and you can actually see right through to the bones.
Transparent. Oh,
wow. Transparent skin. That's why they're discriminating against Bob Barker on The Price is Right and not letting me continue with my show. They're saying go out the door because they can see the bones through my skin.
Why don't you just wear gloves?
I can't wear gloves. I would look like a candy ass. I don't wish to end my career by wearing gloves. I've told them, use the theatrical makeup that covers my hands with a lovely orange tan for Bobby. That's what I want. It hasn't been the same since Rod passed.
No.
Rod Roddy. He was the life's blood of The Price is Right. We enjoyed Rod Roddy so much, I really, really want Rod to come back, but he's dead too.
Yeah. He got taken by the hippie, didn't he?
I was told by a CBS executive, one of the junior vice presidents.
I heard
over
he got the hippie when he went to get, where'd he go to get his suits done?
Thailand.
Bangkok. Rod would go to Bangkok, and most of us on The Price is Right would look the other way. We wouldn't pay attention to what Rod was doing.
Rod.
And he would come back with lovely fabrics and shiny colors, and he would look wonderful on television. He would look beautiful on television.
Yeah.
And then someone decided to say, well, why does he spend so much time there just buying fabric? I always thought that Roddy was over there selecting suits and jackets when, in fact, he was pursuing the sex trade. All the time. But I miss him. He's an excellent broadcaster. And in high definition, I am a horror. I am a horror to behold. But that's what makeup's for, Don. And I sure hope everybody watches the $1 Million Spectacular and The Price is Right tonight.
So, Bob, what would you say?
Rod loved sodomy.
Rod Roddy?
Yes. I'm here to say,
like,
I'm cleaning the slate.
Bob is cleaning the slate clean. I'm going to lick the slate clean, and I will answer any questions you have about The Price is Right, about my relationship with Diane Parkinson, anything you want, the ball. That's why he was a wonderful broadcaster, and I would never interfere with his private life, although on numerous occasions, Rod would come to the studio, and he'd come into my dressing room, and he would say to me, Bob, now you must come to Bangkok. And then he would rattle off a litany of deviant sexual practices that you would not believe, and we would laugh and drink wine. It was wonderful. And then, being the consummate professional that he was, he would go out and introduce that curio that we would have on The Price is Right, and he would not slur his words. That's how much of a professional he was. Rod Roddy, he will be missed. Right. Rod always wanted a pricing game called Hide the Bottle. And we always said no, because he wanted to hide it during the showcase showdown.
What about that rumor that Rod Roddy had incriminating photos of you?
No. I only took my own video. I'll tell you the whole story if you'd like to hear it.
I believe these were photos going all the way back to Truth or Consequences.
Wow.
Truth or Consequences is when I started with a good friend of mine, wonderful actor named Bob Crane. Bob introduced me to making videos of me having sex. And I thought it was wonderful. And I thought it was a wonderful idea. And I decided that I would collect video equipment and keep it in my closet at my lovely house with all of my dogs. And I did so, unbeknownst to Dorothy Joe. Whoa! What do we have to say for Bob's videos? The secret videos of Bob Barker, soon to be coming to another network. I'm taking them to NBC.
Wow.
Wonderful videos of me, only most of the time all you can see is my tan-lined ass.
What do you think, Bob? You're being pushed out the door and you see a know-nothing schmuck like Howie Mandel doing a game show, staying on the air with that.
Deal or no deal?
Yes.
I
didn't want to say it.
This is Bob Barker. I've got to tell you, I believe that we have reached the end of the line. No more game shows. Not fun anymore. Deal or no deal. One theme for the whole show. Oh, how taxing it is. You know what's taxing? To figure out prices. If you're figuring out prices, it doesn't matter whether you're from Samoa or Van Nuys, California. You're using your brains, and all you have is this bald comedian who is not a game show host, and all he's doing is telling people deal or no deal. I think it's a travesty.
What about the new ABC show, The Bingo Show?
The Bingo Show.
They're going to play bingo.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, I will not stand by. I will spend the last several days I have left.
Oh, Bob, you have at least
fighting. I'm a fighter, and I will fight. I will fight.
Months left.
I'm very frustrated about the entire experience. CBS has handled me shabbily, and now they're trying to make it that I... Oh, the big farewell. Let's have a farewell to Bob. Uh-huh. Let's have Bob, the big send-off. I say, F you.
Oh,
F you, wow. CBS. I
like
made
a Happy
love.
Gilmore thing now.
I made love on the pricing game, Petty Annie. I did that and finished off on Switcheroo. I did that. That's Bob. There is more Bob DNA on the set of The Price is Right. That's why they call it the Bob Barker Television Studio. But now, I simply have a request of Les Moonves and everyone at CBS.
What's that, Bob?
Let me die on TV.
No, Bob.
I want to die.
We love you.
I want to have my ribs crushed and the paper bag effect take place when I'm hugged by a giant Samoan. That's how Bob wants to go. I'm not nearly as heavy as I used to be. I've always been slender.
Yes.
But you will find that some of the contestants on The Price is Right like to hug Bob. And what I would like them to do is, I would like to get the biggest, burliest woman with the giant breasts to come up and she'd be 350 pounds. And then she'd say, I love you, Bob. And I said, how about one last hug? And then when she had me in her grasp, I would whisper in her ear, I would say, hug harder. Hug harder until she crushed me. Crushed me like a cockroach and Bob would die in her arms. It would be wonderful. And we wouldn't even get to play the showcase showdown. What do you think of that Don Geronimo answer now?
Buzz, I think, Bob, I think that that is sad. I think you should continue your life, even though your TV show is being canceled.
I wanted to continue.
Or they're pushing you out.
Let me do the show to my 90s, and then they said, what about your hands, Bob? And I held them up, and I look like a burn victim, and I'm frustrated, and I don't want to quit. I want to stay.
Bob, look at what's coming out of your pants are unzipped.
Oh,
look at that, Bob.
Well, wonderful.
Now, Bob, look at that.
I am happy to say that this today, in my 80s, still works as well as it did when I was 22.
Bob, look that little fella in his eye.
Hello.
You know what? You know what he's saying to you right now?
Would you like to talk to him?
You know what he's saying to you right now?
What is he saying to me, Donnie?
Don't end your life, Bob.
I want to. All I have are my dogs, my tequila, and The Price is Right.
Look at
hope that as a fading television icon, I can go to several award shows and be honored, and maybe before I end my life, I can get some nice quality fan tail. Because I know I can't get celebrity tail anymore. After Ava Gardner, it was all over for me. But I would love to make love to as many women as I can before I die. I would like to be the flame burning bright before it goes out. Feel sorry for Bob like Jesus on the cross. I'm being persecuted. Look at this body. This truth or consequences body in black and white. I was an Adonis, and now I'm crumbling. I'm frail, and I don't even know where I am right now.
You're on the Don and Mike show.
I don't know what town that's in.
Washington, D.C.
Damn you, I'm supposed to be a television city. Where am I? I have to go all the time now. Oh, Bob, man. Persecuted Jesus Christ, Bob, has to go. Go he will, and now I go whenever I want to. I was told to do this show for one reason and one reason only.
What's that?
They told me I could get some designer diapers.
Oh, yeah.
We have those.
Thank you.
We have designer diapers, Bob.
I nailed Time Daily before the fat fairy stopped by.
Oh.
I did.
Back in the day.
Back in the day, Time Daily was made of solid muscle. She didn't show on TV.
What was Joan Van Ark like?
Oh, I love what we would play. Joan Van Ark and I would play a game. May I sit?
Please. Please, Bob.
I'm sorry I was pretending to be Jesus Christ. That was blasphemy. I apologize.
You know what really would really kind of took away the religious aspect? Bob?
Let me put little Bobby back in its barn. Go away, Bobby. Time Daly and Joan Van Ark were one and the same. What I would do is I would take Joan Van Ark up to the Hollywood Hills, and Joan and I would try to play a little game. I would let her lick off all of my hand makeup, and in turn, as a treat for me, she'd let me lick off her eyebrows. What a wonderful, wonderful woman she was. I did a quality double triple with Charlene Hilton. That little minx.
From Dallas.
I did all the women from Dallas.
Nice.
I just wish we'd had a chance to do more Celebrity Prices Right. Unfortunately, they said, it's not a good idea, Bob. The show works because it's for the everyman. I said the everyman smells offensive. Bob is perfumed, shampooed, and scrubbed over every inch of his body before each and every show. And when The Price is Right would start, I would be hugged by some of the most foul-smelling people in the history of mankind. That's another reason why I was like Jesus.
You're thinking he's coming out of your underpants.
I'm so sorry.
Do you have on underpants?
No. Bob is commando. Even under all of his expensive suits on The Price is Right, he's commando Danny.
Bob, I don't think you should end your life. I think you should continue. There are more opportunities for you out there.
I would like to make a statement that I've pre-read for all the people at CBS.
Bob Barker, everybody.
Hello. This is Bob Barker, host of The Price is Right. You might have remembered me also in the older days. I was on Truth or Consequences. To everyone that has watched the show for all the years, I say thank you.
But for all the people that have hired me and fired me over the years, including the CBS executive working today, I say a giant F you.
Bob.
That's right, F you, and I wish I could use the real word. I will use the letter they told me, your producer said I could not use the real word.
Right, yeah.
They are a bunch of effing F-sticks. F-sticks one and all. And I say I hope you burn in hell. That's where you deserve to be. H-E-double-tooth-picks hell. Burning with fire and little demons sticking forks in your buttocks. I remember Gene Staples had once treated me to an around the world.
Really?
She was wonderful.
Bob,
all my friends are gone.
Bob,
they're all gone now.
Hold on to life. Hold on. Keep your dogs around you.
It's time for me to go.
How do you know? I have
to put my sunglasses on. And yes, I have the same kind that wrap around my whole face.
Yes, the old man Terminator sunglasses.
That's because of macular degeneration. I have macular degeneration. In 2 weeks, I will be completely blind, so why not end it all? Wow. Bob wants to die. Bobby wants to die. And that's more exciting than a new car. Much more exciting than a new car. You and everyone associated with your show have been wonderful to me. And I want to say that's how much
it meant to you
to be. I want you all to see that a man in his 80s still has one of these.
Oh,
look at it, Robbie.
Okay,
look at it. Touch it, Robbie.
No.
Put it away. I once spent 4 days in bed with Roxy Roker. You know, from the Jeffersons.
You mean Lenny Kravitz's mom?
Yeah,
you betcha. She was wonderful.
Willis.
And to all the ladies that I have had the pleasure of their company over the years, may I just say, grip it. Grip it hard. That's my message. Bob Barker, don't forget to spay and neuter your pets. So long, everybody.
Thank you, Bob.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Bob. Oh, are we off?
Yeah, we're off.
We're clear.
Oh, God. What's wrong, old man?
I ache. On every inch of my glorious naked body.
We got you an Asian hooker out in the car. And
wonderful,
she says,
Bobby says yay.
She does everything.
That's good. I hope she's got a bottle of tequila and I'll come in there. Now, will I be going out this door or do you only have one door?
That's the one.
That's the door, Bob.
All right. Come. What's her name? Is it an American name or is it an Asian name?
I don't know. What's her
Failing?
Name?
Bailing.
Bailing. Bailing.
Falling. Robbie, thank you for the Asian hooker. I'm enjoying this studio. Something smells like ass. What smells like ass, Donnie? It's my own.
Yeah.
I'm very, very disoriented.
Oh, Bob, I'm just...
Where are the clocks?
You seem fine. There's one over there.
I've just been told by the control booth we're still on the air.
Oh, well, let me get... Hello, this is Bob Barker, reminding each and every one of you to stay new to your pet. Thank you.
He's rising now.
Hi, Bob.
I think.
All righty. Time for Bob to go.
See Bay Lake.
I can't stand long.
I'm wandering towards the door.
I require a stool. Where am I going? Where's my...
Bob, can you escort him?
Too late.
Oh, to take his
too late. Bring me the cleaners.
We'll be right back.
I'll be fine.
Tell me you're going to stop.
I'll be fine.
Tell me you're going to stop.
I'm going to stop.
Comment?
No.
Yes?
Huh?
Good.
It was embarrassing for him, awkward. All he cares about is his daughters. But, you know, David's, he's got broad shoulders. You know, he's managing it very well, and, you know, he's fine. Oh, I spoke to David as soon as the, in fact, before the tape hit, and I basically said, we've all been in that position where we've had a few drinks. Luckily, I haven't got it on camera.
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
The Don and Mike Show.
I'm going to stop.
Got you, David.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
You know, if it's human waste, save some for me.
All
I webbed you. That means you got the apartment.
Yeah.
He has undersized testes.
How are you, President Bush?
Did I say those words?
What about the vagina?
Exactly.
Blindly follow Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Whatnot?
Yeah. Don't never ever trust Whitey.
Tell me.
I can't pee in public bathrooms.
That is like stream of consciousness. All the thoughts that are in my mind are coming out on the tape.
Wow. They're spewing out.
Ah, what glorious goo.
That was the last thought, right?
That was Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Walking in the park just the other day, baby, what do you think I saw? Crowds of people sitting there on the grass with flowers in their hair.
Who's he doing, Mike?
I'm not sure.
Hey, boy, do you want to score? And you know how it is. I really don't know what time it was. Whoa, oh. So I asked them, could I stay a while? Page two. Oh, I really don't know.
I know it's somebody.
Yeah, me too.
It's a famous person.
I just don't know who it is.
It's not Katharine Hepburn, is it?
I didn't notice.
Tell us who you're supposed to be.
Tell us who you're doing.
The great poet laureates Jimmy Page and Robert Plant.
Oh,
I right. didn't notice, but it had gotten very dark, and I was really, really out of my mind.
He's just reading a rock lyric, yeah. right?
Well, why don't you do one we know, like Dire Maker or Immigrant Song?
You need coolin', baby, I'm not foolin'. I'm gonna say it, yeah. Go back to schoolin', way down inside.
Right, here's a good one. Do Livin', lovin', the woman.
Go for it.
Living, loving, made.
Yes.
Memento.
Memento. That was not on the lyric page. That was he was saying. Wait a minute.
Trying to remember the lyric.
I speak Spanish. Very good. Go ahead.
With a purple umbrella and a 50-cent hat. She's just a woman. Mrs. Cool rides out in her aged Cadillac.
I like rock lyrics.
This guy's my favorite caller, I swear to God. Can you do Fool in the Rain?
Well, where there's a light in the... No, I can't, sorry.
Bye!
All
right.
Bye!
You are outstanding, though.
Good job.
He's a good one.
Enjoyable.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi,
I got an obvious suggestion for you. How about you guys sell your underwear on eBay?
I don't know if I'd want anybody to see it.
Yeah, like who would pay for our underwear?
Oh.
I don't know anybody. You're famous, right?
Urlacher gets $250. You and I could get $6-7, I think.
I'll be glad to bid on it.
How about his?
Oh, no, thank you.
It would look like a flag of some foreign country.
I don't think he ever takes it off. He just lets it dissolve and then puts on another
pair. I'm going to say Sweden.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Flag of Sweden.
What do you do to Don and Mike? I got my underwear for sale. Speckled with baby batter.
Douglas, I told you, stop calling the show.
What is it with Doug Track?
Still out there. Time on his hands.
DT. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, hi, Don. Hi, Mike. This
hi
is
there.
Toad from Newton, Kansas. Buzz's territory.
Hi, Toad.
How are you?
Oh, that's a nickname. That's a nickname. That's a violation.
Newton, not my territory.
That is a direct violation.
Sorry, yeah. The only Toad, there are only two acceptable Toads.
Mm-hmm.
Larry King and American Graffiti.
And the Wet Sprocket.
Yeah, that's right. Three Toads.
Right.
Important Toads.
Mm-hmm.
Lick the Toad.
Great bar in New Haven, Connecticut. Rock place. Toad's place.
Who's the name of that actor, Robbie, in American Graffiti?
That Martin Smith.
That nerd that gets Opie Cunningham's car.
He's also in The Untouchables.
He's great. He's great
in
The Untouchables.
Outstanding in The Untouchables.
And he was great in Starman.
Oh, God.
Hold on. That's with Jeff Bridges, right?
Jeff Bridges and Karen Allen.
The girl who was in Animal House.
Who was in Animal House, and also, I think, the Indiana Jones, one of the early Indiana mm-hmm. Jones movies.
Right, he's the scientist guy
he's
in that
scientist
movie, right?
He's the scientist with the cigar again.
Okay, I got you.
He likes the cigar. He likes the props. I think I wouldn't be surprised in real life if he's a heavy cigar smoker.
Hello there.
Because he uses them as props a lot.
Don and Mike, what's up?
Hey,
I'd like to play Pick a Pair.
Well. Pick a Pair?
Joe sent me an instant message. If one more moron calls, his words, not mine, to say Pick a Pair is the name of a game that they've played on The Price is Right, Joe's going to be on top of the building with a gun today.
Well, on The Price is Right, they've played every game known to mankind.
Right. Pick a Pair.
It's not fair.
All I wanted to hear was the musical version. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Well, glad I made you happy there.
Pick a Pair.
I wouldn't even tell you about his other great idea. Tard Sharks.
Tard Sharks. Did he pitch that to you?
That was your idea? Well, maybe we'll have a little roundtable session about that one tomorrow.
That would be delightful.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike?
Howdy. I just dumped out on that as well.
Yeah. You know, really, if you have to be that obvious. I mean, you know it's going to be there.
More subtle.
You know, just say you'd like to buy a log.
That's much better.
Remember that like Monopoly?
Remember that from Ren and Stimpy? Log. They had like a jingle for log, didn't they?
Log.
Oh, yeah, it was like log, 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 log.
It was a parody of the Slinky song.
Then, yeah, a Slinky up and down the stairs, a Slinky, where you go?
Log, log, log.
Kids love log.
All kids love log.
And what was log?
Log was a log.
It was just a log. It was a stick they played with?
Just a log.
Lincoln Logs, Tinker Toys, Legos.
Mm-hmm. Pick a Pair.
No, there's actually nothing in common there.
Lincoln Logs and Tinker Toys are made of wood.
And Erector Set would be another one to list.
It's erect.
I've played with Tinker Toys mostly.
Uh-huh.
I didn't play with Lincoln Logs.
Yeah. Lincoln Logs were good, though.
Mm-hmm.
My kids have Lincoln Logs.
I tell you what I didn't like about Lincoln Logs was that they had those ridges.
Yeah,
where you could.
Yeah, but they weren't like real logs.
It was too easy to snap together like a little log cabin.
In our era, I think a lot of people didn't like them for that reason because they just looked phony.
Yeah,
Tinker Toys were not anything that was duplicating a real situation.
But that's really how you built a log cabin. You notched the logs, and then you can build the things nice.
You played with Lincoln Logs, didn't you?
Yes, and I will go. I did the play school brand Lincoln Logs. I'll go to the mat. That's a good toy.
In my day, they were real logs. That was where Buzz at the encampment would go out and just play with sticks.
Uh-huh. That was the Don and Mike Show.
He'd argue. He'd say, I like log. His friend would say, I like rock.
Hey, what's up, Don and Mike?
Joe, don't go on the roof. Hi, Joe.
Trust me, if he goes up, he's going to be shooting for you first today, my friend. Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Piso Mojado.
What is that?
Piso mojado, el reno mucho.
I got no idea.
You got your thing there.
I got my
reno mucho. That sounds like a lot of fun.
No,
don't give us any extra ones. We're going to work on the first thing you said.
While you look it
up, it's not dirty. It's not dirty, is it?
Piso mojado.
Hold on. Stop saying it. All right. Hold on a second.
What is it again? I got
piso mojado.
P-I-S-O, you think?
P-I-Z-O, I would think.
Oh.
Well, this thing is...
Or P-I-S-O.
It's not done alphabetically.
It's done...
Spanish vocabulary thing is like numbers, clothes, banking, negatives, health, the body, weather, days of the week.
What category should we look under, sir?
Piso mojado.
The Urban Dictionary says it can mean anything you want, anywhere from what's up to go F yourself.
Oh, all right. Well, then...
John says it means wet floor, and I think I've seen it on a...
Mojado is the floor?
And piso must mean wet.
C.
So we got it right.
Mojado.
It is the wet floor.
Mucho agua.
Much water.
Mucho agua. Piso mojado.
So you have a flood in your house?
Si.
Is it a bad flood? Donde está?
El no.
Donde está agua?
You know, this is almost like deja vu. I know what my next line is. Okay, but I was waiting between 8 and 5. How long do you think you're going to be until you get to my house? Yes, I understand. You said you would be here between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m.
I think you said his name's Robert.
Roberto Grande Cabeza.
Roberto Bighead?
Rob has a big head.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Si.
Piso mojado.
What?
Mucho grande cabeza.
Rob has a very big head.
You know, there's a part of me, fundamentally, I believe we should not speak anything except American on the radio.
I understand.
So we're going to have to part as friends, my friend.
Thank you. He enjoyed himself.
As your kins say, adios.
Yes. AMF.
AMF.
I hate
to, as Douglas Track says.
Doug Track, the great Douglas Track.
I hate to step backward, but I remember the lyric to the Log song.
All right, go ahead.
It's log, it's log, it's big, it's heavy, it's wood. It's log, it's better than bad, it's good. Everyone loves a log.
Yeah.
All kids love log.
And then they put a tip in. I have no idea. Wasn't there like a tagline? Log, made by... Or
I think it was Spumco.
Spumco.
Haven't watched it in a long time.
You know, that's in his brain. It's rattling around in there, and it comes out his mouth.
Thank you for letting me spew.
There you go. Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. You're on here.
Hello.
A correction. Joe is coming into correction from
Hello.
Sheriff Joe.
Hi, Sheriff Joe. Hold on there.
Log was made by Blammo, and Spumco made, like, the dish products and floor products on the Ren and Stimpy show.
Thank you, Joe.
Hey, dude, don't you know, hey, listen, don't be hating Rob, okay?
Right.
Don't be hating the player. Hate the game. Don't be hating the player. You understand?
He had the info.
He's got it. He's got the facts.
Things that are important to us. Wow, it's frightening.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
It truly is.
Hello.
I was going to say that it's wet floor, but much rain is not mucho reino. It's mucho llueve.
Mucho Reino.
Mucho Reino.
Mucho
Reino. The caller said Mucho Reino.
Isn't that how you always do it when you're speaking to someone? Right. You know, I'm looking for...
My Caro is in the El Garajo.
Kizo Losto.
Hey, Don.
Yes, Mike.
You are en fuego. You know that one?
Oh, I know Dan Patrick. On fire.
En fuego, my favorite.
And if you can't succeed by adding O, a lot of times you just speak louder. Reino! El Reino!
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
I know the original song, The Slinky, because I'm a tard.
The original Slinky song?
Slinky right. song.
Yeah.
I think I might know that one myself. Go ahead.
Slinky, okay. Slinky, it's such a wonderful toy. Slinky, it's for all the girls and the boys.
Mm-hmm. You got it! Ding! Winner!
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-oh! Jungle!
He missed the hard part.
What was that?
What walks downstairs, a loner repairs, and makes a slinkity sound.
Yeah.
Shut up!
Shut up.
A spring.
Shut up.
If it's human waste, save some for me.
Everyone knows.
Stop it.
Shut up.
God. Hello. Hi, Dynamite.
Yeah, yes, we are. Hello.
Yeah, if you get the Larry King tape from last night, at the very end of it, it's a very awkward segue. From James Dobson from Focus on the Family to Larry Flint.
Is this the same episode where Larry allegedly farts?
From last night, yes.
From last night?
Is that the thing that makes it awkward? Does he fart again?
No, it's just from Focus on the Family to Larry Flint.
Okay. All right, my friend. We'll get a copy of that.
That wouldn't excite me nearly as much as Larry breaking when he's got Dr. Robert Shuler on.
Right. It's just a thought.
I've always liked them. They always make me feel better.
They smell bad.
But it doesn't bother me because it comes from me.
I have found the key to this, Mike. It comes so natural to you.
Right.
As you know, I'm I'm the backup impressionist on the show.
Is that how you fancy yourself, the backup impressionist?
Oh, check the lineup card, Mike.
Yeah, no, it's true.
And I happen to know that that the key to that is to keep it to three words, at least for me with the inflection, like, do it again, and I'll mimic it.
Okay, not necessarily three words. I usually do it with "I always liked," and then it can be two words or one word.
But the three word progression for me, at least,
like for example, I mean, well, that's a hyphenated word. I always liked egg creams.
Always liked them. See,
yeah,
I mean,
right.
It's that
fewer
tone,
words.
It goes up.
Right.
Mike's real good.
That tone right there is the "they're just black" when he's talking about his suspenders.
Right. They're just black.
He does that.
Probably took it from them. He's just Buzz.
Probably took it from them.
Right.
But when he's talking, the one where I always liked the egg creams, always enjoyed it, that's the Larry that is Larry talking about himself, you know? Always liked sex with blondes, had a lot of them, married 9 times.
Always take Viagra.
I'm curious. And then there's the definitive Larry. I'm curious. But that's right. You just had it there. You just had it. I always take Viagra.
Always like suppositories.
Like that.
Always like suppositories. Better than pills. Always easy.
Only 3 words. No more than 3.
It can be 2. Always easy.
I'm not you.
Always like girls.
Your 2 is my 3. See, it didn't work because your 2 is my 3 was 5 words.
Yeah. Well, it's always Larry.
It doesn't work for me. Oh, 3 words only works for me.
It's always Larry. The only way that inflection works is when Larry's talking about himself. Right. You know?
About to die.
Yeah.
Always afraid of dying.
Breathing last gasp.
Tell us. Married to a 90-year-old man.
Children. Turn out gay.
And then there's the broadcasting Larry, who is the definitive, you know. How's Ann Coulter with the faggot word?
Children. Wow.
Hold on a second. Too many words there.
Are you doing the Larry talking about himself?
Yeah, except talking about his kids.
All right. Always exploited my children. Always thought it was good. Always good to have them lengthen my career.
Always in shorts. See, I got to do it 3 words.
Always in shorts. Buckles on the shoes. Larry, always like the Zyga kids.
Might be gay. It's okay. See, only 2 words. It's okay. It didn't work.
It's okay.
It's okay, gay.
Gay, did you say gang?
Gay.
Gay. It's okay, gay.
It's okay, gay.
Gay's all right. Liked hanging around with the gays. Always spent time with them.
Sure.
Always thought they were colorful.
Sure, yeah, boy.
Always bright clothing. Great decorators.
Let's break here.
Always time to take a break.
And we'll seg, because the topic is gay.
It
and
is.
We love gay.
Yeah, we always did.
Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
Always liked gays.
Yeah, and he's coming up next.
Always liked the way they smelled. Nice and perfumed.
Smell like ass?
No. No, that's the other guy. That's me! Whoa!
Pause.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Listen, my friend. I am a supporter of the gay community. I wore a red ribbon to the Emmys.
What does that mean?
I have been to several Elton John concerts.
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
Elton John is a gay.
The Don and Mike Show.
I am too sexy for my love.
Gay, 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 gay.
My love loves going to leave.
Ah, what glorious goo.
Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
They go together like blood and phlegm. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hi, Joe.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on a second. Where's the Craig thing again?
Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
I can't pee in public bathrooms.
Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
What do you do with an elderly woman?
Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
Just a bunch of white trash.
Oh, now stop that.
Now,
that was
on.
Not nice.
Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
If it's human waste, save some for me.
Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
That's so gay.
One more. Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
I webbed you. That means you got the apartment.
Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
He's undersized testing.
Well, let's stop. Wow.
Let's stop building the man up, please.
Oh, my God, what a tribute.
Here he is once again in today's USA Today. This is a slow burn.
All right.
This is really a slow burn, nothing that's obvious, but it's a good one.
Subtle. I have not read it.
Well, it's all about a guy named Rick, Mike.
Very good.
That's I'll tell you right now. This is where Mike and I every week, if it moves us, read a column out of the newspaper.
It touches us.
It grabs us. It violates us. And this is one of those weeks. From the front page of the style section, the purple section, the life section of USA Today, the final word by Craig Wilson. Rick be gone. And now the weeds are back. Once had a neighbor named Rick. Nice guy. It's somewhat quirky.
You reading your first line?
Yes.
Yeah.
Rick was what you might call anal retentive. He liked things orderly and in a certain way.
His way. Luckily for me, his way was often my way.
Slow burn, huh?
Maybe not that slow. We got along just fine. In fact, we missed Rick terribly.
Especially in the spring.
This all came up the other night when I was outside talking to my neighbor, Molly, who looked down, saw grass and weeds growing up through the cracks between the sidewalk bricks, and sighed.
I miss Rick this time of year, she said.
I agreed.
We Americans spend about $37 billion last year on gardening supplies, according to the National Gardening Association. I suspect Rick was responsible for at least $10 million of that. He was especially fond of the corner of the garden center, specializing in death.
Rick loved killing weeds. Perhaps you have a Rick in your neighborhood, too.
Not.
Maybe even in your own home.
I'm sure there's some dark psychological explanation for Rick's behavior. But I never asked. For years, I thought nothing of it.
On warm spring nights, Rick's wife and I would sit on the stoop and watch him wander around the block. Tapping a weed here, a weed there.
The good old days.
He held his chemical-filled canister in one hand, his spray nozzle in the other.
Oh, yeah. This is why I was saying slow burn.
And off he'd go. He did it in such a way, it looked as if it were some sort of choreographed dance.
Gay.
And their team could have been an ad for Roundup or We'd Be Gone. He zap, twirl, and then zap again.
Who knows what Rachel Carson or Al Gore would think of all this? But who am I to pass judgment? The block never looked better. There was not a weed in sight.
I think I related to Rick so well because I grew up with a Rick. My dad loved nothing better than a good dose of industrial-strength chemicals. Back in the days that you could just go to the store and buy them. Not only buy them, but use them willy-nilly.
Dad would spray his chemical cocktail around the trees in the barn and watch the world turn brown right before his eyes.
I'm gonna burn the gayness out of you, boy!
It all seems unbelievable now. Even then, I thought it was a bit odd, since Dad was a farmer who loved watching things grow.
Everything you touch just turns brown, boy. Feelings of
love. But like Rick, my dad had a thing for weeds.
I remember one summer, he sprayed a bit too much around the trees in the yard.
Sprayed.
Half the front lawn disappeared.
Rick learned that sad lesson when he moved to the country. Still thinking his weed killer was working its magic only on uninvited sprouts. His lawn, which looked like a spotted dog after a bit too much spraying, was something we did not discuss until last summer.
Speaking of dogs, I was walking Maggie the other day and noticed a neighbor sitting on her sidewalk, pulling weeds from between the bricks. I commended her for her eco-friendly ways.
But then on my walk home, I thought again of Rick's spring dance. Something no one's been able to replicate.
I've tried, but I don't come close.
I spray here.
I'm telling you that.
I spray there.
I mean, anytime you get Craig Wilson saying he sprays.
Right. But my heart's not really into the chemical thing. And the weeds know it. They pop right back up. I miss Rick.
An inconvenient truth if there ever was one, boy.
There he is.
Yeah.
Buddy. Like a puzzle.
Oh, my goodness. It's like a puzzle. But what is the answer to the puzzle?
You know, this is one where you just have to know him.
That's
you
what
gotta,
I said.
You got to dig deep and you got to know what he's all about.
To identify the kind of a slow burn. Mm-hmm. Like, it really, he's in love with this guy, Rick.
I mean, he's talking about a, you know, a yard maintenance guy doing a spring dance.
Hey, zap, twirl, then zap again.
Zap, twirl, zap.
God.
I spray here.
I spray there. I miss Rick.
This time you need a Rick.
In fact, we miss Rick terribly.
Oh, God. Rick was what you call anal retentive. Thank you.
He did it in such a way it looks as if it was some sort of choreographed dance. I felt like I was watching Cat.
On warm spring nights, this is important too. On warm spring nights, Rick's wife and I would sit on the stoop.
Fag hag.
And watch him wander the block. Thanks so much. I love the man.
Can you picture that poor woman? So there, she's got her elbows on her knees. She's holding her face down like this and she goes, oh, Craig, look at him out there. Jesus Christ. And Craig, I love to watch that man spray.
There's nothing quite like his dance. His springtime dance, spraying the yard. I've tried, but I'm no Rick. And my dog, Molly. Is it Molly?
Maggie.
All right, Maggie. Right.
Molly's the neighbor.
Molly's the neighbor. Maggie's the dog. Jack is the boyfriend, and Mom is simply his mom.
I just like it when he doesn't hit us over the head with us sometimes. I really do. I enjoy it. An inconvenient truth. Thank you, Craig Wilson. Thank you.
Speaking of dog,
everything is a non sequitur segue.
Like today,
on my way home, I thought of Rick Spring Dance.
My dad was a farmer. Yes, Dad. Farmer Craig.
Put on the overalls, boy.
Picture his dad, big, raging, homophobic guy driving one of those big, old-time, red, big red tractors. Like,
is there a chance that I could milk the goats again?
Oh, Craig.
Please. Thank you very much.
For God's sakes, take off your sister's dress and go out there and fix the fence on the back 40.
I don't want to. I want to feed the chickens again. Please.
And now Rick says he doesn't want to come over here anymore. Do you know anything about that, Craig?
Maybe it's something about his spotted lawn. His lawn has spots, just like a calico cat. Thank you, Craig Wilson.
Oh, there he is, Craig Wilson. Thank
Wonderful
you,
job.
Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
You are, and you are super. And there is Buzz.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
And it's time for the news with Charles Elston.
Right.
That's a wonderful idea. Get to it, boy. So we've got the 2020 sports update coming.
Yes.
And we'll continue, Buzz, we'll continue our discussion about Barry Bonds' chase of 755.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for joining us on Don and the Big Dog.
Because now this is really just stream of consciousness about something we were talking about 3 hours ago.
This is true. How much sports radio sucked, Don?
Thanks, Mike. And now it's all been tied up.
Mm-hmm.
See, if we did sports radio, mm-hmm. there's no way we could ever read Craig Wilson.
No, that would not be accepted by the sports radio audience.
Our listeners would not go for that if we were supposed to be talking about batting averages and stuff like that.
Who wants to talk about the NBA playoffs?
Are there any players named Rick?
Oh, yeah.
Sure there are.
I miss Rick.
Let's talk about Barry Bonds chasing the Bambino.
Okay, we'll get Charles Elston's news when we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Just set it and forget it. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, let me see. Time for news now with Guy J. Birdley. For a long time, we were pimping for a strip trivia with MILFs and cougars. Then we went on holiday, and we had it up on the front page of our website. We had three women that said they wanted to play. We got back from vacation, and one of the women had to move.
Oh, damn it.
And the other one said that she had lost her nerve. I know it's very last minute, but think about it right now. How about if we play Strip Trivia Friday? And I think if we have a one-person cash prize, we can probably go
$2,000.
Wow.
A $2,000 Friday Strip Trivia.
Big.
And no restrictions this time. We're going to do regular Strip Trivia.
I'd like all skanks.
Oh, the phones are lighting up. The phones are ringing.
All skanks.
All skanks.
No,
see, if you say that, excuse me, I have pumpkin seed in my chair.
Skanks with a...
You're not going to get...
Skanks with love, Mike.
They're not going to show up if you say skanks.
Skanks for the memories.
You're not... You know, it's not working with skanks. It's not going to happen.
Loose girls.
That's another positive that's not going to get them to come out. Wonderful,
women.
Beautiful, vivacious, women. Voluptuous women.
Mm-hmm. Sluts.
Oh, boy.
A boy can dream.
No. Nasty girls.
Bad girls.
There you go.
Bad girls.
It's bad girl strip trivia.
Mm-hmm.
Limited time offer.
Right.
If you're interested, chicks, you got to email us right now.
Right.
You want to come down, play strip trivia, win $2,000, and you think of yourself as a bad girl. In a good way.
Right. It can mean anything.
I'm going to write skank.
But you know.
You're chasing him away.
No, I'm not.
Put that note under his pillow.
I think there are some women out there who think, yes, I'm a skank. I mean, they go along with the gag. Right?
Sure.
If I said, hey, Mike, you're a bastard.
Mm-hmm.
You're not offended by that, are you?
Well, you speak the truth.
Let's say this. We're looking for women with low self-esteem.
And not literally, of course. You mean it in a figurative way.
Yeah.
And I wholeheartedly agree.
And with love.
And really, and I like it. You would use the old English, bastard.
Bastard.
Bastard. No, I think that bad girls would work.
And Buzz, what did you just have? Low self-esteem?
Low self-esteem.
No,
I think that's
that's not going to be good.
I'm kidding.
You're chasing them away.
I know.
Low
no,
self-esteem.
I don't want to do that.
Skanks.
No.
No open sores, please.
Now, does this sound like the kind of game you want to join in on?
Yeah, maybe we'll pimp it out tomorrow, see what's happening. I know that if it's going to happen, it's got to be a real fast turnaround.
Yes, sir.
Like when we had our Britney Spears contest,
mm-hmm.
when you put real money on the table,
mm-hmm.
People will come to play.
Right. Yeah, come down. You know, you answer some trivia questions. Close hit the floor, you win $2,000.
I haven't done it for a long time. I'd like to do it on Friday. We'll see what's happening.
Very nice.
Then everyone that comes down will get a free beverage.
And also, just as a bonus,
yeah.
a little added production value.
What?
On strip trivia. And you know how it works. We get 10 people, and if you get a question wrong, you take off an article of clothing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
One person is left with clothes, and 9 people are naked.
Right.
And when you have to take off the final article of clothing, we'll be playing this song.
That's perfect.
That goddamn American Idol thing.
Just tie it into Idol.
It's driving me nuts.
You know, I've always thought when we do strip trivia, you offer that wonderful cash prize, and that draws people down here.
$2,000 is a lot of money.
But everybody else, you know, should get something. And I would be more than willing, with my own personal finances.
Yes, Mike?
To provide everybody that comes down here.
For strip trivia?
To play strip trivia.
Yes.
Are you ready for this?
Hold on, let me turn off the music.
A free car wash. Who doesn't want to get their car washed this time of year, huh, Don?
That is nice.
You know you like to keep a nice, clean car.
Come on, Daddy Warbucks.
Hey, it's the least I can do.
What can you say?
A free car wash, and I'm going to get a... And the car wash at the same place where you got that Spanish translation dictionary.
You're going to go buy a coupon book?
I'll buy a coupon book next time I get the car washed.
Well, there you heard it.
And I'll get it washed, and I'll get it washed tomorrow, Damone.
Low self-esteem? Skanks?
No!
Women of the night?
Beautiful, wonderful bad girls who want a nice, clean car and a chance to win $2,000.
Bad girls. We're playing strip trivia, we hope, on Friday.
Tattoos right. Not required.
$2,000. We'll see. Yeah, piercing.
I hope so.
Piercing.
Ah, what glorious goo.
Discharge. No. Free car wash at $2,000. Jesus. Who would want to play that? I'd let anybody call me anything for a free car wash.
Free car wash. Uh-huh. Why don't I jump into a free Whopper?
You ready to put it up? Come on now.
Okay, Mike, I'll go the whole way.
A free Whopper?
And?
All right.
How
about a meal?
Whatever the value
meal?
Meal is, yes.
A value meal.
A Whopper value meal?
Fries and a
drink. No cheese, though.
A regular Whopper meal with a free car wash and a chance to win $2,000.
Come on, skanks.
See, now we sweeten the pot.
No supersizing, though.
Buzz, you want to kick in anything here?
What do you think I should contribute?
Oh, come on now. Use your wonderful creative imagination.
Meals. I don't know what's left.
A pen?
A pen. Every pen's for everybody.
Will you give people a pen?
Sure.
Give them all a Buzz pen. Burbank pen?
I'll try to do better than that, but we'll start with a pen.
Rob, what are you going to contribute?
I'll give everyone a historic book.
Really?
A book that deals with some aspects of history.
One of your books?
Yes.
Oh, your favorite book.
Okay, so what we've got now is a pen, a Whopper, a free car wash, and a Hitler book to everybody that comes down here.
Well, you can't beat that.
How many copies of Mein Kampf do you still have?
Well, I keep wearing them out. They fall apart and they get out of order. I don't know how to count in German. So
will we be allowing men to play strip trivia?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No books for the men.
No books for the men. And no Whoppers for the men
no
either.
No pens either.
And no car washes.
Yeah, the prizes apply to just the women.
That's right.
Well, no one's calling for this.
We're going to talk about it tomorrow, though, right?
Yeah.
No one's calling
for this. So long, Skank, and here I got sucked into it again.
It's a great name, the Skank Strip Trivia. All skanks.
Women don't like to be called skanks.
Well, what, don't they own mirrors? I mean, God, the mirror doesn't lie.
They prefer not to think of themselves in that way.
Bad girls means we could get a hottie or two.
They mean anything. Yeah.
One man's bad girl is another man's skank.
Talking about your sad girl.
Toot toot. Hey, beep beep.
I have to be honest with you, Don, as I get into full soul mode here, I can't possibly imagine anyone who would want to turn down an opportunity to not only have lunch purchased for them, but get a clean car and an opportunity to win $2,000 just for answering a few simple questions. You know?
And imagine the fun.
Oh, and also a historical book about the Third Reich.
And a pen.
Yeah.
And a pen.
Buzz who came strong to the Ad Lib Olympics today.
You guys have taken the good stuff.
With
we had the
pen.
Food and the car washes.
Actually, the pen was mine. Yeah.
You gave it to him.
I gave it to
you
him.
You gave it to him.
Yeah.
He came up with Dick.
Yeah, which...
Right.
Well, they'll get it.
Hey,
I know what you understand.
We might get some skanks showing up here.
You understand
Buzz.
My limitations.
Buzz, is there anything you could offer of yourself?
You know? Sure, absolutely.
A lock of your
hair. One wants to make a baby Buzz at home kit.
No bodily fluids, thank you.
Beep, beep.
A free swab.
Well, once again, we are just talking total fantasy here.
Yeah, but it's
well, funny. Wait a minute. Now, we have had, that sounded like Larry. Wait a minute. We've had a strip trivia here, and it's been successful.
I know we have.
Very successful.
I know we have.
But we never get the overwhelming response initially. We have to... I hate to use the word
pimp it out. And we got to pimp it. Yeah, use our strong pimp hands.
Mm-hmm. There was no skanks last time. That was the problem.
See,
we almost
see Johnny Misogyny. What you're doing is you're pushing away now.
No, I'm helping.
Skanks equals funny.
Yes,
skanks
funny.
Equals funny.
Funny.
And come on, girls, you know the ones I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, we could go right down the street to Houston's, and I'm sure there'd be seven or eight of them at the bar right now.
Strap some shoes right below those skankles and come on down.
What are we doing here?
Skankles. Well, we're fulfilling a contract, Buzz.
Yes, we are.
And it's time now.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
It's time now for the next edition of the Ad Lib Olympics. Now, here he is. Here he is now. The man who never fails at Mad Libs. I bet you were good at Mad Libs, right?
I don't know that I've ever played, actually. I'm familiar with the game, but I've never actually
played. You never
played
had that thing when you were a kid where you say, can't you tell? You would say to somebody, give me the name of a soda pop, give me the name of a dog.
Right.
And now...
No, I just had logs.
Mad Libs are wonderful puzzles. Especially for skanks.
I've heard of them.
See, and here I am sucked in. Sucked into the vortex once again.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike.
How are you anyway?
I'm well, thank you.
Mad Libs like a puzzle.
It is a puzzle.
Oh, my goodness, it's like a puzzle. But what is the answer to the puzzle?
Exactly.
Miss Rick.
We all do.
Miss Rick is fresh.
It's spring dance.
We all anal miss. Retentive.
Where are the skanks, boy?
Where are they, boy?
Hey, Joe?
Yes? There he is.
I hate to take you away from whatever that great computer game is that you're playing, but... Could you please see if there's any skanks on the phone?
Yes.
Thank you. Be a love. Thank you, Joe.
Are we going to ask John and Joe to contribute something, too? Because it really doesn't have to be anything of significant monetary value.
Joe, John, you got anything you want to kick in?
I can give some cigarettes.
Cigarettes. Buzz. Now, that fits in right away.
He already trumps you. Hey. Joe?
Joe's on the phone.
Joe's multitasking, Mike. We can't
perhaps,
ask him.
Perhaps, you know, really, in Joe's case, perhaps it is asking too much.
Hi, Joe!
Perhaps
a
mention on his website.
One of his many.
Yeah, something we got to talk about, Joe's 8 million websites.
Mm-hmm. He's a webmaster.
Joe loves coming in and saying that he's got that software, most websites do, where you can track where your hits are coming from. Joe loves coming in and saying, like, man, someone in Afghanistan logged on to my website about DC traffic.
You know what all his websites are? They're harebrained get-rich-quick schemes.
That's exactly what they are.
What is his traffic website again?
DCTrafficSucks.com. Is that it, Joey?
No, Rob.
What is it?
It's DCBeltwayDriversSuck.com.
Very good.
Got you.
Might want to snack up the other one, though.
How we doing on lovable skanks, Joe?
I got a skank from Stockton. So
got to be in the D.C. area. Yeah,
now, see, if we were doing the show from that part of the world.
Oh, we could play the game every day. Are you kidding me?
We could.
John, let us know about the email, please.
I got one.
Is it from Alaska? Skankerage?
No, not actually.
Is it from one of the Dakotas? Skankton?
I thought that was Skankton, Northern California.
Or how about Kentucky? Skankford. I'm working on it now.
Or Germany, right.
what would Frankfurt
be? It would be the same thing as it's right. Frankfurt, Kentucky. Skankford, Germany.
Skankford.
Right. Well, let us know, John.
I got one.
Okay.
Got one. All
maybe right. Skanksing, Michigan. No, that didn't work. Lansing, no, Lansing and Skank.
Okay. Email us, call us. Right. We're thinking about doing this on Friday for $2,000. And now here he is, Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike.
Hi there.
You know, it's funny what a letter from 8 attorneys general can do to motivate you. MySpace yesterday identified, deleted, and blocked, and I quote, a few thousand convicted sex offenders. A few thousand removed from MySpace yesterday.
You know, between the Chris Hansen and this.
Yeah.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
It's starting to really boggle the mind.
MySpace will forward now these few thousand profiles to the attorneys general who wrote the letter. MySpace says this is just part of its ongoing effort to protect its young members from adult predators. The move came 24 hours after MySpace got that letter. There are approximately 600,000 registered sex offenders in the United States. 600,000 registered. A few thousand of them are no longer on MySpace. Now, as it turns out, private enterprise can do a lot to help fight crime. In Louisiana, a stolen truck was tracked down by police in 56 seconds, thanks to OnStar. Expect a commercial or two about this. You've heard of Gone in 60 Seconds? The 2006 Chevy Silverado pickup was back in less than 60. The truck was stolen from a casino parking lot in Biloxi, Mississippi. Police got the report at 12:05 and 39 seconds in the morning. A patrol officer found the truck at 12:06:35 a.m. The truck was found at the Pink Panther, or was stolen, rather, from the Pink Panther Trailer Park in Slidell, Louisiana, just outside of New Orleans.
That's the best trailer park.
You're goddamn right, Mike. No skanks there.
Not a chance.
The alleged thief was apprehended by a police dog.
You know, I used to,
what?
No.
Sorry.
No.
I used to. Never mind.
Never mind. You know,
did Skank Panther take it out?
Just knocked the wind right out of me.
Knocked the wind out of you.
Ouch! Right, my solar plexus.
See, it's, you should know better, Rob.
I should.
You ever play Mad Libs? As you know, as goes American Idol, so goes the nation. So be afraid.
The miles are getting long.
I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm going home.
As we close in on the exciting finale of this year's American Idol, the ratings continue to drop. The numbers were down 8% Tuesday night this week.
Shut up.
Compared to Tuesday night of last week. Sorry,
Shut
Simon.
Shut up.
Sorry, Simon.
Shut up.
That's true, Simon. From a 15.5 rating to a 14.7, from a 25 share to a 23 share.
So when you're talking about zillions of people.
Yeah, and you got a go-to television show. What's the shelf life, in your opinion? How many more years? I say they go 4 more years easy.
I think they got 2 more solid ones. It's starting to burn a little bit this year.
Mm-hmm.
They're really saved by the fact that I think Melinda Doolittle, or is that her name?
Yeah, Melinda Doolittle.
Melinda Doolittle. She could be a freaking star.
Really? I would seriously.
She could be a pop music star.
I would buy her music. I would, just based on her talent level. They really have a better talent than they've had in years.
Jan was asking me last night, am I not correct here? She was a professional background singer,
yes,
right?
Yes, she's a pro.
And there was also a guy.
Yep.
Earlier this year, that was a professional background singer as well, right?
He got voted off, but he went to Hollywood, but he got voted off.
I thought the reason I like the girl with the midget head and no neck, Melinda Doolittle, is that she has stage presence.
Yes, she does, and she's got a phenomenal voice, and you know, and they'll continue to do that. It's still the formula for the show is still fascinating to me.
And the reason I still when you talk about it being fascinating, let me try to put this into words. Radio has become so niche-oriented that you're very afraid to play a song from 30 years ago because you got to have the young, hip, now audience.
Right.
You can't talk about things that happened before Ronald Reagan was president because that whole bunch of the audience is not relevant anymore to advertisers.
Right.
Yet on our number one TV show, they come out and they sing a song from 1978 by Rolls Royce that nobody's ever heard.
Right.
The song that they had Melinda do last night, Nutbush City Limits by Ike and Tina Turner.
Mm-hmm.
I turned to Janet when they announced it and I said, she will kick ass. This is one of the greatest rock and roll songs ever.
Right.
Janet sat there like a deer in the headlights and said, I never heard this song before in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Right. My long-winded point is, those songs, the music of bygone years, are just as good today as they were yesterday.
Yeah, and then the whole thing they tell them on American Idol is that they redo the songs like they can in their own style, and that's what makes them fresh. Because, you know, that's what covers are all about, and that's been going on for a million years.
So what I say to radio is what I've said for a long time. How come there is not a radio station that would play these songs? On our number one TV show, they're singing songs from 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Kids seem to dig the style.
Do you get the vibe from Simon on the show, though, that he is the one that's kind of succumbing to that pressure more than anybody else? He's the one that will always say, you look like somebody from 30 years ago. But yet, he, with a Rolls Royce song, that's a 70s song, isn't
1978.
It?
1978.
And that's the one he picked for Jordan to do, right?
Yeah, you are correct.
And so he's contradicting himself, but then he's got to get that thing in where, hey, you know, you look like, you sounded like you're doing a song. You're 17 and you're doing a song from 30 years ago. It doesn't matter if it's a great song.
They had the beatbox boys sing Roxanne.
Right.
Roxanne, hello, it's 25 goddamn years old, that song.
Absolutely.
I think Simon's point is that the melody and the songs are good, but you want to make sure you don't get locked into the style or the feeling of 30 or 40 years
ago. I just think Simon, when he's on that show, is the one that is definitely aware of audience and the perception and as far as what demographics they're going for.
Well, again, last night, he's at least the only one when they said, what do you think? I guess Randy Jackson.
A little bit.
Ape Dog.
Much praise last night. That's no fun at all.
Jackson thought that at least there'd be two girls in the final, right?
Yeah, I think everybody.
But I think that includes Blake.
The only thing that, Paul, of course, didn't want to say who she thought was going to be in the finals, and now you've got, you've got Simon saying that Melinda is a lock for the thing, which I agree. I mean, but when someone's a lock, the weird thing about that show, anything can happen right now, because if you think somebody's a lock, you might not vote for her. So, I think with those three people, really, I think it's the biggest wild card, anything could happen. You're still going with Jordan saying goodbye tonight.
She's out.
Out of there. I agree with you.
As a matter of fact, the stupid beatbox boy might even be the number one vote getter.
Yeah.
Just because America's retarded.
But isn't it fun to root for Blake going home, to see him make a stupid face and have to leave?
Yes, Blake in his bad house.
Wiki, wiki, wiki. And now let's look at your journey.
You know what song I would love
to
see?
Look at your S life before you came on the show, and guess what? You're going back to S City.
You know what song I would really love to hear Blake sing? It's a Christmas song, so it wouldn't work. Blue Christmas.
Oh, like that Porky Pig thing, right?
I'll have a blue. Could be a Christmas.
Thank you.
A judge has made a ruling in the case of a girl who frequently used the expression, "That's so gay." And that's our story when we return.
Katie Couric.
That's so gay.
Yeah, it's her.
Like that.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, I heard a thundering hoof.
You're really good under pressure. Poor boy. Came in. Poor boy. He's being like a child. He comes in. We were just having a discussion in the other room. And John said, oh, my God, we're back on the air. And Rob came running back in.
Thundering back down the hallway.
Trying to hit the jingle. And instead it was something like this. It was.
That's right.
The Don and Mike Show. The Don.
Anyway,
WKFK.
Are we back?
Did we rejoin?
Nobody said we're back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
We're back.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah.
I'm not going to call that earth-shattering because it wasn't. The trouble with the song is that you're always forced to do an impersonation on stage. And it wasn't as good as the original. It was good. It wasn't great.
Oh, boo.
Oh, you can't say it was fantastic.
Yes, they can.
You can't.
Rocks.
Hey, well spoken for white guys. Don and Mike.
You can't.
He didn't do a Sting any justice at all, I thought. I thought it sucked.
I thought he sounded a lot like Sting.
I like the Maroon 5 song he did a little bit better.
Listen, I'm no fan of that beatbox boy. I thought he did pretty well last night.
Now, you still think he's going to be safe tonight, right?
Yes. What do you think, Dolores?
I don't know. Let me hit a few buttons.
I don't want to tip anybody's hands. We were just having a hasty meeting trying to find the newest, hottest sex phone numbers.
Ooh.
Phone sex numbers. I always say sex phone numbers. Phone sex numbers.
Sex.
Not time for Dolores to rejoin the show.
Oh, yes, sequin gown.
Yeah.
Rear her skanky head.
And actually, to be honest, Rob, it was a race of two rhinoceroses coming down the hall.
You both kind of thundered in after each other.
Both of us running in, and we almost had that gay moment with our hands touching as you reached for the button, as I reached for
you
the button.
You would have won if I hadn't tripped you. But I was, I had my eye on the prize, Don.
Meanwhile, I was sitting in here, finger up to the third knuckle.
D!
What's going on?
Hi there, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hey, Joe?
Yeah?
How's that video game?
What?
How's your video?
My video?
How's whatever you're doing on the computer?
Oh, it's fine.
Okay.
Just fine.
Where's Daddy's drink?
Oh, it's on the way.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Daddy's thirsty.
Daddy's thirsty.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Dynamite.
Daddy thought I asked for a drink right before we were talking about the phone sex girl.
Right. Your father's something to drink.
Daddy doesn't care for video games.
This is so gay. In Santa Rosa, California.
That's so gay.
A judge has ruled against a girl who frequently used the expression, that's so gay. For better or worse, that's so gay doesn't always mean gay. Among kids, it can mean uncool or stupid, retarded, if you will.
Absolutely, Buzz.
18-year-old Rebecca Rice was suing her high school, which punished her for using the phrase. She says she was singled out and because of that became the subject of merciless ridicule. That's when she says the other kids started to tease her about the fact that she's also Mormon. Essentially, the judge in this case ruled that life isn't fair, that it sucks to be a teenager, and that the law really isn't equipped to deal with a case like this.
Thank you, Joe. You're the man.
Daddy got his drink?
Daddy got his drink.
Horse meat. The host of a cooking show in England would like us all to consider the merits of horse meat. Gordon Ramsay, host of The F Word on BBC Four, points out that horse meat has half the fat of beef and 10 times the omega-3s that break up cholesterol.
That's the Gordon Ramsay Hell's Kitchen, Gordon
Apparently
Ramsay?
Apparently so.
Risotto.
His show in England is called The F Word.
Oh, wow.
I'm sure I was served horse when I was in France, and I don't care if it's full of stuff that'll make me live 40 years longer. Right. It sucks.
Ramsay. Stomp your feet twice if you didn't like it.
Tastes just like beef.
Does not. It tastes like old, tangy, stringy, tough beef.
Robbie, why do they call it, this is not a joke, why do they call it a hamburger when in fact it has nothing to do with ham?
It has everything to do with where it came from.
It should be a Moo Burger.
No, it's from Hamburg.
Hamburg, Germany.
That's where it was originated?
And a Frankfurter is from Frankfurt.
Right. So that's why we don't call it like a Moo Burger?
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
I know that you and I call it a Moo Burger.
So we can thank the Germans for it?
You absolutely can and should.
Of course.
Well, let's
should.
Read a book.
Next time you see them.
I read your book.
I'll bring you a book.
Next time they pass through. Ramsay also claims that horse meat is free from bird flu, mad cow disease, tuberculosis, foot and mouth, and tapeworm. Tapeworm, he says. It says tapeworm is the meat industry's dark little secret. They already eat horse, as Rob mentioned, in France, Sweden, Japan, and Kazakhstan.
Hey, what about a ham steak? Because it's not really a steak at all, is it?
No, but it is ham.
Wait, and they have salmon steaks. I mean, it just means a cut of meat.
I guess so.
Yeah, ham steak is a steak.
Okay, then why do we call it hot dog?
Because it's not cold?
That's a baseball thing. I really think that's from baseball. That's from...
There is an answer to that. I don't remember.
Yeah, I think that's from, like, a ballpark where they have
it. And by Joe's coming in.
Oh, dear.
He must have won the video game.
Oh, here Joe. We go.
Hi, boy.
Hi. The hot dog was either the ballpark or a World's Fair, but the guy started selling them in the buns, and he called them hot dogs because of that. They were Frankfurters, but he put them in the buns, and that was the hot dog.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Clears it up.
What? That's it. Now we understand. Don wasn't listening.
Did he actually say something?
No, I'm not kidding.
Did he say something of substance?
Sort of.
I think he's right about the World Fair part, but he didn't really explain how putting it in a bun made it a hot dog. So yeah. We still don't know for sure.
There's an answer out there somewhere.
Also a verb meaning to perform in a conspicuous or often ostentatious manner.
Yeah, like when we drive out of here.
Ostentatious.
You're right, like turkey burger, that's another thing, hamburger, turkey burger. Yeah, we put anything after burger,
right.
I shouldn't be so literal.
Yesterday,
right.
Buzz talked about the Whopburger.
Which is no more.
Remember the Whopburger, right, yesterday on the show, right?
They took it off the menu and the Italian family that originated it is very upset about that.
Exactly right. You know, it could be a little dry, the horse meat, but Ramsey recommends you follow a recipe for venison if you're preparing at horse. It's what for game. And, American bald eagle. If you prefer eating our feathered friends, try the American bald eagle. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says there are now nearly 10,000 breeding pairs of bald eagles in the lower 48. We haven't had this many eagles since World War II. The pesticide DDT had a lot to do with the dwindling of the eagle population, down to 400 pairs of eagles. Now it's 10,000 pairs. They're due to come off the endangered species list toward the end of June, but don't plan on having them for your July 4th cookout. There's still the Eagle Protection Act of 1940 to abolish first.
Please. There's so many big fat eagles out there.
There are.
I love them.
Andy Reid.
He's not bald.
Ron Jaworski.
Buddy Ryan.
King of the eagles. King of the fat eagles.
Thank you, Mike.
Now, twice recently, there have been carbon monoxide leaks in air traffic control towers. What could possibly go wrong? Senator Chuck Schumer of New York wants to know why there are no carbon monoxide detectors in our control
towers. Why aren't there any carbon monoxide detectors? I'm Senator Schumer.
Hello. Since the controller's mental sharpness protects thousands of human lives a day, controllers at Washington's Dulles Tower were evacuated last week. Four of them treated by paramedics. A week before that, radar controllers on Long Island were forced to stay on the job in spite of the headaches and vomiting caused by the carbon monoxide buildup in their headquarters.
I'm going to take a nap.
Sleepy. Kind of a shocking medical report out of the Mayo Clinic. Apparently, getting off your ass and walking can help you lose weight. Who knew? Researchers say walking a couple hours a day in real life on a treadmill can help you drop 66 pounds a year. And some people can actually do this, apparently, while they're at work.
Sometimes I can't even look at Rob behind you.
Why? Wait, what are you doing? What's he doing?
Buzz has a story.
Yeah?
Buzz has this story, and then I just... And Rob just... He is getting up off your ass and walking, and Rob just looks at me and just goes... just gives me this
basset hound look.
A fake.
Like he's sad.
They built at the Mayo Clinic special treadmill cubicles for the experiment. Mayo Clinic volunteers would spend 2 or 3 hours a day walking really slowly, about 1 mile an hour, while they typed on specially arranged keyboards and made phone calls. They burned an extra 100 calories an hour this way over the people doing that same work while sitting. One other way.
One mile an hour? I got news for you. That's like the treadmill not moving.
Yeah, but see, if you walk much faster than that, it makes it harder to type. They made these people type and operate the telephone and make phone calls while they were walking.
That story sucks because I got all excited when he said Mayo.
I know. Well, that's the other way to lose weight. Hold them.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, God.
And your vitamins are trying to kill your prostate, according to the National Cancer Institute in Bethesda, Maryland. A new study says men who take more than 7 multivitamins a week increase their risk of prostate cancer.
Oh, jeez. Come on.
Oh, in sports, investigators looking to see if Falcon quarterback Mike Vick's into dogfighting. They say they're checking reports. There's video of Vick at a dogfight. The Virginia Tech alumnus says he spent very little time at the property he owns where the dogfights occurred.
Hey, you know, I was going to mention, when we had JB on the show last week about that, he sent me a link over the weekend, just FYI, that Michael Vick had sold that house.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Over the weekend, he sold that house.
Mm, no longer here.
With all the dogs.
You don't hear about that. I mean, actual real dogfighting for money. That's pretty weird stuff. It's
supposed to be a big business.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently so. Finally, we told you recently about the spread of coffee shops in Seattle that specialize in cheesecake. Not a dessert in this case. It's an old-timey expression to mean women in revealing clothing. Business is booming in coffee shops that have started showing a little skin. One shop has waitresses that dress as French maids or put on plaid skirts. And now a coffee drive-through in Salem, Oregon, has its window workers wearing bikini tops. The owners are pleased to report sales have doubled.
What about the vagina?
And tips have tripled. Cream in your coffee?
I can't pee in public bathrooms.
Cream in your coffee? You might. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, no.
Ew.
All right, Buzz. Thank you.
That's it. We got to fly. Don't forget. If you'd like to play Skanky Strip Trivia on Friday, you can email us.
Slow down, ladies.
DonandMikeWebsite.com for more information. We'll see you tomorrow with the all-new episode, okay? So good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
And
good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
And there he is now, head ready to do a lap around the building.
I would like to bet the Bombay. Douglas.
Douglas Stevens. That's all. Good night, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.